ജയം വിഷുപാദ പരമഹംസ പരിവ്രാജകാചാര്യ അഷ്ടോത്തരശത ശ്രീ ശ്രീമാൻ അഭയചരണാരവിന്ദ ഭക്തിവേദാന്ത ഗോസ്വാമി മഹാരാശീല പ്രഭുപാദിക്ക് ജയം നിത്യലീലാ പ്രവിഷ്ട വിഷുപാദ പരമഹംസ പരിവ്രാജകാചാര്യ അഷ്ടോത്തരശത ശ്രീ ശ്രീമാൻ ഭക്തിസിദ്ധാന്ത സരസ്വതി മഹാരാശീല പ്രഭുപാദിക്ക് അനന്തകോടി വൈഷ്ണവൃന്ദയ്ക്ക് നാമാചാര്യ ശ്രീ ഹരിദാസ് ഠാക്കൂർക്ക് പ്രേംസഹോ ശ്രീകൃഷ്ണ ചൈതന്യ പ്രഭു നിത്യാനന്ദ ശ്രീ അദ്വൈത ഗദാധാര ശ്രീവാസ്വാദി ഗൗരഭക്തവൃന്ദയ്ക്ക് ശ്രീ ശ്രീ രാധാകൃഷ്ണ ഗോപഗോപിനാഥ ശ്യാമകുണ്ട രാധാകുണ്ട് ഗിരിഗോവർദ്ധാനയ്ക്ക് വൃന്ദാവൻ ധാമിക്ക് മായപ്പൂർ ധാമിക്ക് മധുരപരിധാമിക്ക് ജഗന്നാഥ് പരിധാമിക്ക് ദ്വാരകാ പരിധാമിക്ക് ഗംഗമായിക്ക് യമുനമായിക്ക് തുളസിദേവിക്ക് ഭക്തിദേവിക്ക് സാമവേദ ഭക്തവൃന്ദയ്ക്ക് ഗോർ പ്രേമാനന്ദി ഓൾ ഗ്ലോറീസ് ടു ദി അസംബ്ലിഡ് ഡിവോട്ടീസ് ഓൾ ഗ്ലോറീസ് ടു ദി അസംബ്ലിഡ് ഡിവോട്ടീസ് ഓൾ ഗ്ലോറീസ് ടു ദി അസംബ്ലിഡ് ഡിവോട്ടീസ് ഓൾ ഗ്ലോറീസ് ടു ശ്രീ ഗുരുവൻ ഗൗരംഗ ഓൾ ഗ്ലോറീസ് ടു ശ്രീ പ്രഭുപാദ് നമോ വിഷ്ണുപദായ കൃഷ്ണപ്രസ്ഥായ ബൗദ്ധലേ ശ്രീമതേ ഭക്തിവേദാന്ത സ്വാമിനിധി നാമിനേ നമസ്തേ സരസ്വതി ദേവീം ഗൗരവാണി പ്രചാരിണേ നിർവിശേഷ ശൂന്യവാദി പാശ്ചാത്യദേശതാരിണേ ഓം നമോ ഭഗവതേ വാസുദേവായ ഓം നമോ ഭഗവതേ വാസുദേവായ ഓം നമോ ഭഗവതേ വാസുദേവായ സംസാരസാഗരേ മഗ്നം ദീനം മാം കരുണാനിധേ കർമ്മഗ്രാഹഗൃഹീതാംഗം മാമുദ്ധര ഭവാർണവാൻ ശ്രീമദ്ഭാഗവദാഖ്യോയം പ്രത്യക്ഷകൃഷ്ണമേവ ഹി സ്വീകൃതോസി മയാനാഥ മുക്ത്യർത്ഥം ഭവസാഗരേ മനോരഥേ മദീയോയം സഫലാ സർവദാ ത്വയാ നിർവിഘ്നേനൈവ കർത്തവ്യം ദാസോഹം ഭവ കേശവ ഭവേ ഭവേ യഥാ ഭക്തി പാദയോർസ്തവ ജായതേ തഥാ കുരുഷ്വ ദേവേശ നോദസ്ത്വന്നോ യഥ പ്രഭോ നാമസങ്കീർത്തനം യസ്യ സർവപാപപ്രണാശനം പ്രണാമോ ദുഃഖശമനം തം നമാമി ഹരിം പരം ജന്മാദ്യസ്യ യതോന്വയാദിതരതശ്ചാർത്തേഷ്വഭിജ്ഞസ്വരാത് തേനേ ബ്രഹ്മഹൃദായ ആദികവയേ മുഹ്യന്തി യത്സൂരയ തേജോ വാരിമൃതം യഥാ വിനിമയോ യത്ര ത്രിസർഗോ മൃഷ ധാംനാസ്വേന സദാ നിരസ്തകുഹകം സത്യം പരം ധീമഹി ധർമ്മപ്രോജ്ജിത കൈതവോത്ര പരമോ നിർമ്മത്സരാണാം സദാം വേദ്യം വാസ്തവമത്ര വസ്തു ശിവദം താപത്രയോന്മൂലനം ശ്രീമദ്ഭാഗവതേ മഹാമുനികൃതേ കിം വാ പരൈരീശ്വര സദ്യോ ഹൃദ്യവരുദ്ധ്യതേത്ര കൃതി ശുശ്രൂഷുഭീ തൽക്ഷണ നിഗമകൽപ്പതരോർഗലിതം ഫലം ശുഖമുഖാതമൃതദ്രവ സംയുതം പിബത ഭാഗവതം രസമാലയം മുഹുരഹോരസികാ ഭുവി ഭാവുകാ സച്ചിദാനന്ദരൂപായ വിശ്വോൽപത്യാദിഹേതവേ താപത്രയ വിനാശായ ശ്രീകൃഷ്ണായ വയം നുമാം യം പ്രവ്രജന്തം അനുഭേദമഭേദകൃത്യം ദ്വൈവായനോ വിരഹകാതരമജുഹവാം പുത്രേതി തന്മൈതയത്തരവോഭിനേതു തം സർവഭൂതഹൃദയം മുനിമാനതോസ്മി യസ്വാനുഭാവമഖില ശ്രുതിസാരമേകം അധ്യാത്മദീപമതിതിതീർഷതാം തമോന്ധം സംസാരിണാം കരുണയാഹ പുരാണഗുഹ്യം തം വ്യാസസൂനും ഉപയാമി ഗുരും മുനീനാം നാരായണം നമസ്കൃത്യ നരം ചൈവ നരോത്തമം ദേവീം സരസ്വതീം വ്യാസം തതോ ജയമുദീരയേൽ കമനീയ കിശോരമുഗ്ധമൂർത്തേ കളവേണു കൊണിതാദൃതാനനേന്ദോ മമ വാചി വിജൃംഭതാം മുരാരേ മധുരിം ന കണികാപി കാപി കാപി നമാവോം വിഷ്ണുപദായ കൃഷ്ണപ്രസ്ഥായ ഭൂതലേ ശ്രീമതേ ഭക്തിവേദാന്ത സ്വാമിൻ ഇതി നാമിനേ നമസ്തേ സരസ്വതി ദേവേ ഗൗരവാണി പ്രചാരിണേ നിർവിശേഷാ ശൂന്യവാദി പാശ്ചാത്യദേശതാരിണി ശ്രീമൽ ഗുരുചരണാരവിന്ദാഭ്യാം നമ വന്ദേ നന്ദവ്രജസ്ത്രീണാം പാദരേണുമഭീഷ്ണശ യാസാം ഹരിഗതോദ്ഗീതം പുനാദി ഭുവനത്രയം ഗോപീചരണാരവിന്ദ പരമാനവേ നമ പീതാംബരം കരവിരാജിതചക്രശംഖം കൗമോദഗീസരസിജം കരുണാസമുദ്രം രാധാസഹായമതിസുന്ദരമന്ദഹാസം വാതാലയേശമനിശം ഹൃദി ഭാവയാമി കോമളം കൂജയൻ വേണും ശ്യാമലോയം കുമാരക വേദവേദ്യവരം ബ്രഹ്മ ഭാസദാം പുരതോ മമാം മൂകം കരോതി വാചാലം പങ്കും ലംഘയതി ഗിരിം യൽകൃപാതമഹം വന്ദേ പരമാനന്ദമാധവം ഓം ശ്രീകൃഷ്ണായ നമ ശ്രീമതി രാധികായേ നമ സർവത്ര ഗോവിന്ദനാമ സങ്കീർത്തനം ഗോവിന്ദ ഗോവിന്ദ ഓം പാർത്ഥായ പ്രതിബോധിതാം ഭഗവതാം നാരായണേന സ്വയം വ്യാസേന ഗ്രഥിതാം പുരാണമുനിനാം മധ്യേ മഹാഭാരതം അദ്വൈതാമൃതവർഷിണിം ഭഗവതിം അഷ്ടാദശാധ്യായിനിം അമ്പത്വാമനുസന്ധദാമി ഭഗവത്ഗീതേ ഭവദ്വേഷിണിം നമോസ്തു ദേ വ്യാസവിശാലബുദ്ധേ ഫുല്ലാരവിന്ദായ തപത്രനേത്ര യേന ത്വയാ ഭാരതതൈലപൂർണ പ്രജ്വാലിതോ ജ്ഞാനമയ പ്രദീപ പ്രപന്ന പാരിജാതായ സ്തോത്രവേത്രൈകപാണയേ ജ്ഞാനമുദ്രായ കൃഷ്ണായ ഗീതാമൃതദുഹേ നമാം സർവോപനിഷദോ ഗാവോ ദുഗ്ധാ ഗോപാലനന്ദന പാർത്ഥോ വത്സ സുധീർഭോക്ത ദുഗ്ധം ഗീതാമൃതം മഹത് വസുദേവസുതം ദേവം കംസച്ചാണൂരമർദനം ദേവകീ പരമാനന്ദം കൃഷ്ണം വന്ദേ ജഗദ്ഗുരും ഭീഷ്മദ്രോണതടാ ജയദ്രഥജല ഗാന്ധാര നീലോൽപ്പല ശല്യഗ്രാഹവതീ കൃപേണ വഹനി കർണേന വേലാകുല അശ്വത്ഥാമാ വികർണഘോരമകര ദുര്യോധനാവർത്തിനി സോത്തീർണ ഖലു പാണ്ഡവൈരണ നദീ കൈവർത്തക കേശവ പാരാശര്യവജസ്സരോജമമലം ഗീതാർത്ഥഗന്ധോൽക്കടം നാനാഖ്യാനക കേസരം ഹരികഥ സംബോധനാബോധിതം ലോകൈ സജ്ജനഷൽപദൈരഹരഃ പേബീയമാനം മുദാം ഭൂയാദ് ഭാരത പങ്കജ കലിമല പ്രധ്വംസിന ശ്രേയസേ മൂകം കരോതി വാചാലം പങ്കും ലംഘയതി ഗിരിം യൽകൃപാതമഹം വന്ദേ പരമാനന്ദമാധവം യം ബ്രഹ്മാവരുണേന്ദ്രരുദ്രമരുദസ്ത്വന്വന്ദി ദിവ്യൈസ്തവേർ വേദൈ സാംഗപദേർ ക്രമോപനിഷദേർ ഗായന്തിയം സമഗാഹ ധ്യാനാവസ്ഥിത തദ്ഗതേന മനസാ പശ്യന്തിയം യോഗിനോ യസ്യാന്തം ന വിദുസുരാസുരഗണൈ ദേവായ തസ്മൈ നമഃ. മമൈവാംശോ ജീവലോകേ ജീവഭൂതഃ സനാതനഃ മനഃഷഷ്ടാൻ ഇന്ദ്രിയാണി പ്രകൃതിസ്ഥാനി കർഷതി. ദാറ്റ് ഇസ് വേഴ്സ് 7 ഇൻ ദി 15th ചാപ്റ്റർ. സോ This jiva, which we discussed yesterday,
mama eva paramatmana amshaha bhagaha avayava ekadesha iti anarthantaram jiva loke jivanam loke samsare jiva bodho bhokta karta iti prasiddha sanatanaha.
So Krishna is saying that this jiva, what does jiva means? Jiva means, basically it means kartrutva bhoktrutvam. I am the doer, I am the enjoyer. Isn't it? Ahankaram, false ego, that manifests in us in these two forms. I am the doer, I am the enjoyer. So here, Acharya is saying here, that anyone who is in this creation feels that they are the doer and then the enjoyer, who will be considered as a jiva, they are a part of me. They are a part of me. And he says, jiva bhudo bhokta karta iti prasiddha sanatanaha. That means this tattvam, this principle that I am the doer, I am the enjoyer, which makes a person a jiva, he becomes a jiva because of that ahankaram inside. And that tattvam is very famous in this world. Acharya Swamiji says here that. He says, yatha jala surya kaha suryamsho jala nimitta paye suryam eva gatva na nivartannai tadha ayam api amshaha tena eva almana sangachadi evam eva. In other words, when the sun which is reflecting in the water, when the water dries up, where does the water go? Water goes back to the sun again. Then it forms in the form of clouds, it comes back. So when the sun is reflecting in the water, and if the water dries up, the reflection goes away, but the water goes back to the sun. Similarly, jivalma also, after which is a part of Paramatma, he, when the body dies, at the liberated state, when the body is destroyed, at that time he has to go back to the Paramatma, where he came from originally. So, like the sky example, Ghatakasham and Madhakasham, which is in the Bhagavadam also. Yadava Ghatadi Ubhadi Parichinam Ghatadhyakasham Akasha Amshaha San Ghatadi Nimittavaye Akasham Prapya Nivartande. Example, he says, that when the pot breaks, the sky in the pot becomes one with the total sky, from the total sky outside. And there was no question of that sky coming back again on its own. So therefore, because it is like that, Acharya says here, this statement that yad gatva na nivartande, you don't come back again, is very appropriate. Just like the sky, when it goes and merges with the total sky, the small sky inside the pot, which is the final words from Parikshit to Shugabrahmarshi to Parikshit in the Bhagavadam, isn't it? If you remember in the 12th chapter, canto, 5th chapter, Brahmabhadesham was given. At that time, this is what exile, Ghatakasham. So, Ghatakasham and Madhakasham. So, Ghatakasham is the sky in the pot, Madhakasham is the total sky. So there the sky has gone back and joined, and that sky is not going to come back again on its own. Similarly, so Krishna is saying here that shariram, we saw this yesterday, jivalma manashashtani indriyani shrotradini prakritistani swastani karnam shushkalyado prakritav sthitani karshadi akrashadi. So this is a very important topic, this what is the next verse, because the mind is considered to be the sixth sense, is the mind, and the other five senses, 5 plus 1, 6, that's what it says, mana shashtani indriyani prakritistani karshadi. The jivalma attracts all the senses. That's why he is a jivalma, because he has these problems, which are they? I am the doer, I am the enjoyer. He wants to enjoy the senses. This is all a part of this jivatvam in him, the jiva nature, in other words. Kasmin kale, when does he attract them? That was the next verse we saw yesterday. We started that. Shariram yadavapnodi yachab ulkramati ishwaram grihitvaidani samyadi vayurgandhani vashayat. You see, in that verse, mamaivamsho jivaloke jivabhuta sanatana manashashtani indriyani prakritisthani karshati, Krishna said in the seventh verse, isn't it? So, what does jiva do in this world? Jiva's only business is this sense gratification. Sense gratification, identification with the body, I am the doer and enjoyer, all this is a part of jiva process. So, Krishna is saying here that manashashtani indriyani prakritisthani karshati. And because he is in that way situated, he is always inside the prakriti. He is always inside the prakriti, material nature. Three modes of material nature. Prakritisthani karshati. Karshati means, Krishna says, that he gets attracted by that karshanam, akarshanam, or attraction by the senses and the sense gratification. Because of that, when does this happen, this attraction? That was the next verse we saw. Shariram yadavapnodi yachab ulkramat ishwara grihitvaidani samyadi vayur gandhani vashayat. Krishna is saying here that jiva is the master of all the package of the body, of the senses, mind, intelligence, everything. So his only business inside this body is to attract everything and to keep them together. That's what jiva does. Jiva is busy with keeping the mind and the senses together, and he is the boss inside this body. So, and one thing what he does is, when he leaves one body and he goes to the next body, he carries with him this mind and the six senses. In other words, mind and the five senses. He will carry it with him. So when jiva goes away from one body to another, what goes with him? The mind and the senses. Mind and the senses. Yadaja purvasman sharirad sharirandaram avapnodi tada grihitva etani manaha shashtani indriyani samyati samyak yati iti. He doesn't take anything else. Body he leaves here. But the mind he takes with him. The senses he takes with him. Senses goes with him. We have to understand this, what mind and senses means. That's why this difficult. How does one take senses? We are thinking that senses are these eyes. This actually it's not. Mind is the senses, also is the mind. How would it work? That will come to that later. So, kim iva iti aha vayuhu pavano gandhan iva ashayat pushpadi. Exactly like the air carries the aroma from the flowers in the similar way. Kani punatani iti, which are the senses that is spoken here. Shrotram chakshu sparshanam cha rasanam ghranam eva cha adhishtaya manaschayam vishayan upasevade. That means the five knowledge acquiring senses, which is shabdam, sound, ears, and eyes, sense of touch, sense of taste, sense of smell, and all of them, their adhishtanam. Adhishtanam means that the basis on which they operate. These senses cannot function without the mind. So, mind is the adhishtanam. The senses are the one, they are dependent on this mind. Vishayan upasevade. The mind along with the senses, what they do is they engage in gratification. Gratifies. Senses and the mind together, they gratify. So, and in this way, from one body to another body, the jiva goes. Jiva goes in that way. That is what we were started talking yesterday. So, we mentioned also that this jiva bhudam, If you give attraction, if our attention falls on him, Krishna is saying, if the attention falls on him, that later on what will happen is, Krishna is present inside as Jiva. Because Paramatma has taken this Jiva form. That is consciousness, awareness, isn't it? If our attention goes there, then you will know finally that that Jiva Bodham which was become is the Antaryami himself. This is how that relationship is established with the Antaryami at a later date. At a later date. We call that as conscience, isn't it? Sometimes we say, my conscience tells me. What does conscience mean? Conscience is not the mind. It's conscience. The word itself is very obvious, isn't it? It comes from your consciousness. That is not coming from the mind. Something inside tells you that the something, what you are doing is the right thing. My conscience tells me. We say like that, isn't it? Suppose you are going to do something wrong seriously. But from inside somebody is telling you, don't do it. That's wrong to do it. That's conscience. It's not the mind. So, everyday life, Antaryami, we are interacting. Only thing we don't know about it, that there is an Antaryami inside whom we call as conscience. We are simply thinking that, oh, conscience tells me. Again, because we are all the time identifying with the mind, we think it's coming from the mind. It's not coming from the mind. In those situations, circumstances, for example, that anything, something serious offense you are going to commit, a murder or something like that, definitely from inside, Antaryami will tell him not to do it. It's wrong thing to do. Sinful activities and things like that. But we ignore that. That is how we lose our touch with the Antaryami. When we ignore the Antaryami like that. So, once you start giving attention to that vastu inside, that whatever we have mentioned yesterday, we have acquired in this world. Krishna is saying here, shariram yad avapnodi, what we acquire through the body, through our work or activities, we acquire certain vasanas and we release certain vasanas from inside. Is it not? So through karmam, some of the vasanas gets released. Through karmam, new vasanas are created also. Both happens through the karmam. That is what Krishna is saying in that verse, that shayiram yada vapnodi. If you look into that 15th, the 8th verse. Shariram yada vapnodi echabi ulkramad Ishwara. That Ishwara, who is nobody than else than Jiva. Jiva is that there. Ishwara there, he is addressed as Ishwara. Jiva is addressed here in this verse as Ishwara. Why? He is there, one and the same person. Only thing is, the function is now that shariram yad avapnodi, he collects them, new fresh vasanas and keeps them with him. Yachabi ulkramandi, and at the same time he is also releasing certain vasanas. And those karma vasanas, what he has collected from his activities, grihitva, he carries them with him. And plus along with the mind, this Jiva Bodham, Ishwara, who has become Jiva Bodham, along with the senses, taking its subtle aspect, Sushma Amsham, not the gross thing, gross result. Any karma when you perform, there is a gross result and there is a subtle vasana with that. Gross result he doesn't take, the subtle vasana he carries with him. That is what Krishna is saying here. That that's why he says grihitvaidani samyati, and what does he do? He migrates from there. Mind migrates. Grihitvani tani samyati. How? Like the wind, like the air. It goes away. So one thing you can see here, when the air carries something, you can see what the air is carrying here. But here, even that is not possible. Here, that's not possible. Ordinary people, remember this. Ordinary people, they can't see this, how they carry things. But we'll give you some examples, how the realized souls can see this. How it carries the vasanas with them. So, Krishna, who is Ishvara, in this case addressed as Jiva, Jiva, Jivatma, he is situated inside the body and creates karma vasana. And this karma vasana, what he has created, it falls into three different boxes. Prarabdham, Agamam, Sanchitam. Three different boxes. So in there, which we know that what he has collected from this Ulkramandi, is as Krishna says here, Ulkramat Ishvara. It's a famous verse which is going to come up next, the one after the next. It's a beautiful verse, and Krishna says in the 10th, that's the 10th verse, Ulkramandam Siddham Vavi Munjanam Va Gunanyudam Vimudha Nanu Pashyandi Pashyandi Jnana Chakshusha. The famous verse in the Bhagavad Gita. How a realized person, what he sees in this world and what we don't see. That's what that verse is. We'll come to that later. So here, Krishna says here, that the Grihitva Samyadi Ishwaraha Vayur Gandha Niveshayat, what else he carries with him? Practically speaking, Jiva and the mind are not different. We get confused because of so many terminologies, isn't it? Mind is not different from Ahankaram. Mind is not different from Jiva. It is all one and the same thing. It's all one and the same thing. Why do we address them in separately? To make it easier to understand. Many Yani says, don't break them up like that. They say there's only one thing, mind. They don't even accept the body, because body has come from the mind. We say, I have got my mind. No, you haven't got your mind. Mind has got you. This is how it is. We mistaken it. This is misunderstanding what we have. We say, I have got a mind. No, mind has got me. This is exactly the opposite it is. So, so it is in the mind that Krishna is reflecting in the mind. That living force, Atma, Krishna, is reflecting in the mind. And now Krishna is saying here, Avapnodi, he accepts many, many things. Who does this? Mind does that. In the form of vasana, mind does that. So, when you look at things from the spiritual point of view, you don't look at it from the point of, from the position of the body. You always look at it from the position of the mind, because mind is more important for us. Body is not important. So while living in this world, that mind or that jiva, while living in this world, or you can say Paramatma, which has come as jiva, how does it accept these different sense objects, and through which instruments he accepts the so many sense objects? Paramatma accepts. Paramatma, through which instruments accepts the different sense objects. That's what he's saying here. The main instrument for that is the mind. For Paramatma, which has taken the form of Jivatma, and when it wants to accept the sense objects, which is the main instrument for that? It is the mind. Isn't it? It's the mind. So, mind cannot do it on its own. Can it do that? Mind cannot do it on its own. That is what Krishna is saying. Mind on its own cannot do it. It needs help. So, will the mind accept everything on its own? No. Krishna says, the answer for that is the next verse. If you look. Shrotram chakshu sparshanam cha. Rasanam ghranam eva cha. Adhishthaya manaschayam vishayanubhasevate shrotram chakshu sparshanam cha rasanam ghranam eva cha adhishthaya manaschayam vishayanubhasevate. That is it. Shrotram Chakshu Sparshanam Cha Rasanam Ghranam Eva Cha Adhishthaya Manaschayam Vishayan Upasevade. So that is a very interesting word. How the mind and the senses work together. How they do the business together. So here we know which senses do what, isn't it? So for example, the ear for the sound and eyes for the form. Eyes for the form. Skin for the touch. Tongue for the taste. And nose for the smell. So these senses, what we call them as the senses, with their help, who enjoys? Mind. Mind enjoys. Senses are, we call it sense gratification. But actually, the real enjoyer is the mind, not the senses. He needs their help to enjoy. Mind needs the helps to enjoy. Krishna says here, Vishayan upasevade, isn't it? So, this mind, in Vedantam, they call it as apanjikritam. Apanjikritam means, Panchabhutam, the five material elements. If you look in the Bhagavatam, you will see in the second canto that when they were told to mix, they wouldn't mix. The five material elements, they would not mix. They started fighting each other. That's what happened. Krishna created these five material elements and they told them to mix. He told them to mix together. They wouldn't mix. They started fighting. They couldn't work together. Basically, there was a problem. They couldn't work together. And then, Krishna performs one action called Anupravesham. Anupravesham means, he enters into all of them. All these elements. They have come from Krishna. All of them have come from Krishna. What Krishna does is, he gets into them. And then he told them to mix. And they started mixing in such a way that you couldn't believe it. They became so close to each other. Earlier, they won't even talk to each other. When they see each other, they won't even talk. But when Krishna has got this capacity, if somebody, two people are fighting so badly, he has got the capacity to how to bring them together very well. So that's what he has done. In the second canto, you can read in the Bhagavatam that he told them, if you are not going to mix, I'm going to get in. He said, he got inside. And after that, they started mixing so nicely together. They could not sit. One could not sit without the other. That stage has come. So close they became. So, they are the five material elements. When they mix together, there is a process called Panjigaranam. Panjigaranam means how these five elements mix together. We don't see the elements. We see the name and the form, what we see in this world. Isn't it? So, Panjigaranam is the process by which the five material elements gets mixed. So, actually, this should not be spoken because what it is mind is changing into all these different forms. Pranam, for example, life air, what we call it. And life air, again, we split into five main pranam, panchapranam, and five upapranam. So, 5 + 5, another 10. It keeps on multiplying like this, different levels. And pranam and then the mind and all the senses. So all these things we are breaking up, one vastu. One vastu is broken up like this. All of them are different forms of the mind. Pranam is different form of the mind. Senses are different form of the mind. Actually, there is only one vastu here. Only one vastu here. That is Atma. And in that Atma, mind came up. And from the mind, all other things have come up later. So, all these things, when we say, you can keep all these things in your memory, different names and different functions, what they do. But, our idea is not to know this break up and to keep them in your head. That's not the intention behind it. Our intention is to get jump out of all these things. This is the intention. Normally, what do? We hear all these things, Panchikaranam, five material elements, and then we start finding out how it breaks up further, Panchapranan, Upapranan, like that it goes, isn't it? So what people do is that they try to remember all these things, thinking as though they are studying for the examination. No, here it doesn't work like that. What we have to do here, knowing very well that this is all bondage on us. Atma is bound by all these things, all prana, mind, senses, everything. Our intention is to jump out of all these things, not to have all these things anymore with us, isn't it? So, if you know this much is enough, that mind is nothing but five material elements, when they have not joined together, it is mind. It's a very amazing invention of the rishis. Rishis are saying to us, mind and these five material elements, the relationship is like this. When the material elements have not joined together, before Krishna interfered into it, it's mind. It is mind. When the five material elements, when they come together and they develop their relationship together, that's called the Panchikaranam. There's a whole book about that, Panchikaranam, about that. As soon as they have joined together, it has become matter. Up to that, it is spirit. This is the point where spirit becomes matter. In the form of mind, it is still spiritual energy. But even though we call it material, mind is material, we say, that's because it's not anymore in the pure form of the spirit, because already vasanas have come and polluted that. That's why we call it as material. But in its gross form, it is spiritual still. It's not material. But that mind, when it has become, when it has all joined together, five material elements have joined together, at that time, it has become that, when the Panchikaranam has happened, it has become matter. So from the mind, how the matter comes, this is the way it happens. Five material elements, once it has come and they started joining together, that means it's become matter. It has become matter. Jadam. They call it as jadam. So in this creation itself, it has become matter and jadam. That's why this creation, what we find. Originally, this is mind, which has transformed into, by Panchabhudam's Panchikaranam process, it has become jadam, dead matter, and then all these things have come into existence. All these things have come into existence. So, if it is not Panchikritam, Panchikritam means these five elements coming together, if it is not Panchikaranam done, which is called Apanchikritam, if it is Apanchikritam, in that case, the matter will turn into mind again. Matter will turn into mind again. This is the principle on which the yogis operate. You see, if it is Panchikaranam done, then mind will become matter. Therefore, if you get this subtlety and know this process, how this Panchikaranam done, then they are the yogis who are able to convert matter into spirit, and spirit into matter, vice versa, they can convert. You remember some yogis are capable of producing from the air gold and various things like that. They used to say about Sai Baba and others that he managed to produce gold from the air. What is the process? This is the process. Inside that mind, he is able to turn the mind into matter and create matter from that, whatever they wanted. Many yogis are capable of doing this. It's a yoga process, it is. So, we think that matter cannot be, matter has to be created. Matter is created in this way. From spirit, matter can be created. Spirit, matter can be created. There are many people who are capable of doing this kind of things. What is required is that the mind which is not gone through Panchikaranam, Apanchikritam, that mind, if you make it stronger, it can create different objects. It can create different siddhis. Krishna mentions this in the Bhagavatam. You remember? 19th chapter, I think, in the 11th canto. Aishwarya siddhis. Aishwarya Siddhi is nothing but this, using your mind and able to create objects from the mind. So, if you understand this relationship, mind and matter, is this, that mind can turn into matter, matter can turn back into mind again, in the same way, in the same way. So that is an important thing Krishna is going to say in this verse now, what we are discussing. Shrotram chakshu sparshanam cha rasanam ghranam eva cha adhishtaya manaschaya vishayan upasevade. Without the mind, no senses can operate. No senses have no meaning. Similarly, you can also see, if you want to understand this time and space, it's all total lie, this is, time and space. It's not very difficult to understand that. For example, we say America. Where is America? Where is America? So, America, we think it is about 7,000 miles or 8,000 miles away from here, isn't it? Suppose somebody is sitting here, and if you get a call from America, from one of your relations, or somebody phones you up and starts talking to you. This time and space, what you were talking about, where is it gone? What he is speaking, immediately you are hearing here. So, that space and the time, what we address as we, which we are concerned about, oh, it's so far away America is. So, in which plane are you calculating time and space? Is it based on the physical movement, or is it based on the movement of the waves, what is we consider as the sound waves, what's coming through? Or sometimes you are speaking, the form is transmitted here, from America to here, isn't it? These are all siddhis actually, what they have developed in various ways. Those people who have invented them, what has happened was, they use their mind to work very hard on this. So if you make your mind very powerful, it is through that all these inventions happen. And that proves to us, this thing called time and space is also false. It has no meaningful existence. In which platform are you referring to time and space? While talking about moving the body from here to America, you can say 7,000 miles or 6 hours flight or whatever. You can refer to like that. But while sitting here, you are talking to somebody there on the phone, or you are having a video conference with somebody there, you are seeing each other, and where is the gap? Where is the time? Where is the space there? There is no gap in between then, isn't it? So Krishna is saying here, we talk about the time, we talk about the space, but where is the time and space? So that is what Krishna says here. Shrotram chakshu sparshanam cha rasanam ghranam eva cha. All of them is nothing but 5 material elements. These 5 senses are 5 material elements. It's a question of manipulating these elements. When we say eyes, ears, nose, the 5 knowledge acquiring senses, what Krishna is saying to us is, they are not different from the material elements. For example, Shabdendriyam. Shabdendriyam means that sound. What's happened in the ear? Shabdam, sound, is a characteristic of the sky. Isn't it? Sound is a characteristic of the sky. That sky is present in the ear. Sky is present in the ear. And that is where you will see, similarly, fire is present in the eye. Fire is present in the eye. Water is present in the tongue. That's why tongue is always wet. Because of this. This is the only reason for that. Air is present in the skin because of the touch. Similarly, earth is present in the nose. That's why we smell. That's why we smell. We have to know, understand it this way only. We shouldn't think, oh, there is some other technology inside working. No, there is no other technology. Technology is this. Krishna's arrangement is like this. Material elements are present in the gross form, in a panjikaranam form there, separately. Apanjikrata form, it is present in us, in all these different locations. So what happens? Even though panchikaranam happens there, when this panchikaranam happens, a methyl element has much more power than the other methyl elements. In, for example, in the ear, the sky has a higher force, higher power than compared to all the other four. In the eye, the fire has more power than compared to all the other four. In the nose, earth has more power than compared to other four. In the skin, air has more power than the other four. So, five material elements which are present in us, in our body, elements are present inside us. That's what Krishna is saying to us. That if you say that in the material manifestation, they are in the form of five material elements. And in me, they are present as the senses. They are present as the senses. Vastu is the same. The same thing which is present in the world, in the outside world, in the form of material elements. Earth, water, air, ether, fire. Five material elements is present there. And those elements, when they are combined together, we have got name and form. Different names and forms. Buildings and bridges and metals and all other things. It's a combination of these material elements. So, when they are present in the world, in the creation, they are in the form of material elements. But in me, in my body, they are present there as senses. They are present there as senses. So, practically, the sense I, my I, is not different from the form. It's not different from the form. And my ear is not different from the sound. Not different from the sound. Nose is not different from the smell. From the smell. Tongue is not different from the taste. They're all together. They're all same. They're not different. And the skin is not different from the touch. From the touch. So, therefore, what you are seeing is called drishyam. The form what you are seeing is drishyam. What you are hearing is the sky. Is the sky. And what you are smelling is the earth. Is the earth. And what you are touching is the air. Did you get that, what I'm saying? That means that the five material elements, we have to see the subtlety of it, how Krishna created us. Krishna is saying that here, that these five material elements, they're outside, they are in us also. So all our senses are predominated by different material elements. That is how they got that power. Ears, eyes, nose, taste and touch. All of them. So, Krishna says here, if you are hearing something, that means the presence of the sky in you. And if you are smelling something, the presence of earth in you. If you are touching, feeling the sense of touch, it means the air is present in you. And in reality, Krishna is saying, Jiva carries the whole creation. Jiva carries the whole creation. I don't know whether you got this point in the 7th chapter when Krishna spoke about it. The word Krishna uses there is Dharyate Jagat. You remember that verse? Bhumi Rapanala Vayu Kamano Buddhi Revaja Ahangare Diyame Bhinna Prakriti Ashtada Abareyam Idastvanyam Prakritim Vidhime Param Jiva Bhudam Mahabaho Yeyedam Dharyate Jagat. Dharyate means what? He wears it. We carry the world with us. We carry the world with us. That's why Krishna uses that specific word, dharyate. You will see in that verse, in the 7th chapter, in the Bhagavad Gita. 7th chapter, it's an important verse. Bhumi, ahanga, aparayam idastvanyam prakritim vidhime param. Param vidhime param jiva bhudam. Jiva bhudam. You know, this connection between jiva, material elements, ahangaram, all these things we have to know. Otherwise we will continuously identify with the mind and the senses and the elements. We will live like this all the time. How will we come out of it when we don't understand this? That jiva, 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 we keep on saying jiva. What is jiva? Jiva is this, Krishna is saying here, that bhumir anal apanalo vayu. If you look at that verse, Krishna uses the word dhairyade jagat. Dhairyade means that, I don't know exactly what you say in English, that what is translation there they have mentioned in the verse? Is utilized. Exploited. Dhairyade, clothes we wear them. That is called to dhairyade. Vastram is dharanam. Dharanam. Similarly, here, material elements we are wearing them with us. Yayadam dhairyade jagat. Whole creation we carry with us. Because what is creation? Creation is five material elements. And that five material elements we have got with us. And it is with the help of these five material elements that jiva yayadam dhairyade jagat. Aparayam idastvanyam prakritim vidhime param jivabhutam. Mahabaho yedam dhairyade jagat. Krishna is saying there in that verse, isn't it? So, what Krishna is saying there is, jiva carries this or wears this whole prakriti, material nature, whole creation. Therefore, shabdam, sparsham, rupam, rasam, gandham, all of them, and all of them, apart from that, through the senses. So, we have got all of them in us, all these five senses in us. And through the senses, we carry the whole world with us. Is it not? See, we have a connection with the world through the senses. The senses are in present in us, and that is the same thing that is present in the world. The world, the senses, the material elements, they are all one and the same. World is a form combination of the material elements. That's how you have to look at. It's nothing but a combination of material elements. So, material elements which are present in the world, they are present in us in the senses. So, when the material world is present in us in the form of senses, practically we are carrying the world with us. Is it not? Every time any of our senses are operating, we are interacting with the world. World is in us. We are not in the world. World is inside us. So all these creation, sense enjoyment, what it does is, it brings the whole world inside us. That is what Krishna is saying there. Shrotram chakshus parshanam cha. We have to look at it from the Vedantam point of view. Don't look at it from the our way. Scientists or whatever way we look at it. Our way has no meaning because the person who has created is telling us. We have to accept it. There's no other choice here. He's saying to us, see, everything is different in the Shastram. Everything is different. The way we look at things is one way, gross level we see, because we don't even accept the soul, what to talk about other things. When you have no idea about the soul. But from the spiritual point of view, important thing here is that center point is centered around soul, everything is calculated. Centered around the soul, everything is explained. Not centered around the body. What we explain is everything centered around the body. Isn't it? Body is our the whole criteria or the center point. Based on the body, everything is explained. In Shastram, everything is explained based on the Atma. Atma is the center point. Atma is the pivot. Everything else is running around the Atma. Atma is the pivot, and that is the truth. And when you look at it as Atma as the pivot, then you will see all the explanation changes. So because Atma is the pivot, not body is the pivot, Atma is the pivot, the elements outside, they are present in the body. They are looking at the elements, the body, the mind, the intelligence, the ego, the senses, everything revolving around this pivot, Atma. From Atma came the mind, and from the mind came the body. From mind came the body and the senses. Then the senses. From mind came the senses. If you can see in the creation how it's spoken, isn't it? That's how it is. Satyahangaram, Rajasahangaram, Tamasahangaram. Satyahangaram, mind has come. Rajasahangaram, body, senses have come. And Tamasahangaram, the body has come. It's explained in the second canto, I think, or third canto. Somewhere you will see that. So, important point here is, behind all these things, Krishna is saying, mind is the important factor. How important this thing called mind? If you understand what Krishna is saying to us, that you are looking at the world, you are looking at the different elements, material elements, you are looking at your body, and you are looking at, finally you are seeing there that all these five senses, sense objects, what we call as sense objects, and then this gross body, everything is ultimately carried by this mind. Mind is the one who is carrying the body. Body is not carrying the mind. You see that point? Mind carries the body, not the body carries the mind. So, that is why Krishna took this from the Kathopanishad. Look at the words. Kathopanishad says, Ya esha supteshu jagarti kamam kamam purusho nirmimanaha tadeva shukram tal brahmam tadevam amrutamuchyate tasmin lokaha shri ta sarveta dunati edi kaschana edadvai tata. This is the Kathopanishad words. Kathopanishad is saying here that this relationship between the mind and all other things. Everything, what you will notice, one thing, whatever Krishna has spoken in the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna will say it's my opinion. No, never. Always quoting the rishis. Why? It's more authentic that way. When somebody comes and says to us that, oh, it's my opinion, that is not Vaidigam. Vedam doesn't accept that. Krishna also, although the absolute truth, Supreme Personality of Godhead, while speaking Shastram, he will quote the authority of the rishis. That is the system. Always quoting the authority of the rishis. Therefore, you can see this whole chapter, most of it is from Kathopanishad, few from other places also, but everywhere the message from the Upanishads is coming through. So, this Upanishad verse, Ya eshu supteshu jagarti kamam kamam purusho nirmimanaha tadeva shukram tal brahmam tadevam amrutam uchyate tasmin lokaha shrita sarve tadunatyedi kaschana edadvai tadat. What it says here, Nachiketas went to Yama. Yama is talking to Nachiketas. He says, in the sleep, mind moves in the dream, isn't it? While you are sleeping, the mind moves. And what does the mind do? Mind brings a lot of impressions into the dream from its depth. Mind knows something. Sometimes it's amazing what the mind can create in the dream, is it not? So, and the same mind, when it comes to the vacant state, what they call it as vijrambhana. Vijrambhana means the expansion of the mind. When it expands like that, it creates a world. This is how the world comes into our calculations. Suppose we are in the dream state, the world doesn't exist for us then, is it not? In the sleep, world doesn't exist. When you go into the dream state, where is the world? There's another world mind creates. Only in the vacant state, the mind creates another world for us. That's this world, what we see as the world. So, when you say like that, people start thinking, is it my mind that is creating this world then? You may ask that question, isn't it? Not your mind. Actually, you belong to the mind. That's a very clear cut definition there. I don't belong to the mind. Mind does not belong to me. I belong to the mind. There is a mind to whom I belong to. Because I was born from the mind. The first thing mind created is what? Jiva. Jivatvam came from the mind. Ahangaram, all other things, and I am separate, I am independent, individuality, personality. Who created? Mind created first. Is it not? Because mind has created that, mind is the origin, body is the final end product. What is that? Normally what do we say? My mind. Identifying fully with the body, I will say like that, isn't it? I am the body and I got a mind inside somewhere packed up like a black box or something, somewhere working. It's not like that. It is like this way, that you have to see this, that the first kalpana, they call it, first creation of the mind is this jivatvam. I am a jiva. I am independent, in other words. I am separate from the Supreme Consciousness. I am separated. Independent, individual consciousness. This is the creation of the mind. Along with that, ahankaram, false ego. I am the body, isn't it? So, it creates that confusion first, that I am separate from that. So, that is why, jiva kalpayade purvam, tado bhavan pratak vidhan, Upanishad says. Jiva kalpayade purvam. First, it creates jiva. Make us feel that we are jivas. And afterwards, depending on this jiva, shabdam, sparsham, rupam, rasam, gandham, all other different senses coming into action. These five things, shabdam, they are called tanmatra. Sound, touch, smell, taste and form. Five things. So, when we say gross material elements, these tanmatra, five tanmatras, which are called sound, touch, smell, taste and form, they are all one and the same. One is spoken in a very subtle level, other one is spoken in a very gross level. That's all the difference is. So, what does the mind do? Mind converts the Brahman with the help of these five senses into this world. So this is how the world has come into existence. Completely different way what we look at it. This world has come into existence. Brahman has transformed, and that transformation as done by the mind. Mind from inside has done that. It transformed Brahman with the help of the five senses and created the world as we experience it now. That's what Upanishad says. Krishna is saying here. To show the importance of the mind. Mind is everything. From the mind the body has come. Senses have come. Vasanas are all packaged there. Stored up there. And it is the mind which will take you away. Take you to the jiva, to the next body. It is in the mind your, I am the doer, I am the enjoyer. It is in the mind all our vasanas like ragam, dvesham, everything is stored. It is in the mind birth, death, old age and diseases happening. All emotions are stored up there. All your thought waves are generated there. When all these things are happening, why do we say I am this body? It is not the mind that is more important than the body. Mind is doing a lot more than what the body is doing. Is it not? So, and again, when we leave this body, mind throws this body out and mind goes to the next body with the senses and occupies the next body. Mind doesn't go still. Body you can get it off somehow. One day it will go somehow. After giving you all the trouble in life, and frightening you throughout the life, one day it will leave you and go. But that one, other one won't go. Even if you want to get rid of him, he won't go. How bad that is. So that's why Krishna is stressing that point here. That Shrotram, Chakshu, you see, if you add up all these things together, that is where all our life is on these things. Shrotram, Chakshu, Sparshanam cha, Rasanam, Ghranam evaja, Adhishtaya, Manascheyam. Vishayan upasevade. This is our life in this world. Is it not? If you look at that way. Shrotam chakshu sparshanam cha. Rasanam ghranam eva cha. Adhishtayam anaschayam vishayan upasevade. Finished. This is all our life is. Krishna is saying, this is how important it is to understand this thing called mind.
where everything is happening. So here Krishna is saying here that the with the help of the five senses, this mind converts Brahman into this world. Brahman, Krishna, Brahman is Krishna. Brahman has come in this form. How this is experienced for us for the moment? Through the mind. So, in other words, mind has done the job of experiencing this world, isn't it? If there is no mind, you won't experience this world. It may be existing in some form. Some form. So, all experience is happening like this. Pratiti, perception, is all because of the mind's work. It's the mind that is behind everything. It converts Brahman into this perceived form, whatever we are perceiving now. This is all the mind does. That is the most important thing Krishna is saying here. So now we will look into that verse, how this thing works. One sannyasi, Rajeshwarananda, asked this question about this. He said, why should we not go to Haridwar? A long time ago, 50, 60 years ago, Haridwar was very beautiful and very serene, and there was no industry, there was no hotels, restaurants. Ganga River used to flow very nicely and people used to go purely for spiritual reasons. Haridwar was famous for that. So he invited Maharshi to go there, and he was saying to Maharshi that if you just experience Ganga River's flow in Haridwar, that itself is so spiritual experience. That Maharshi says to him, is there another sixth Bhudam there apart from the five Bhudams? He said. That was his question. That is realization. Then we see things like this. You see, when you see the world, what do we see? We evaluate the world, isn't it? Some places are very nice, we say, to go to enjoy. That's why we go on holidays to selected places, isn't it? Holidays. And some other places, we don't go to holidays. You don't go to Somalia for holiday, do you? Or places like that. You won't think about it even. As far away you can keep away from there, you will think. Or to Yemen or places wherever all these problems are going on. Or Syria for that matter. But I'm just saying, but you will think of a holiday on a nice place. Why? We think these places are good, that places are bad. Why? We see it through our mind and the senses. That is why it is. Purely the mind is making the decision. Whereas when it comes to the realized people, for him there is no difference. Why? For him, that's also Panchabhudam. Somalia is Panchabhudam, Syria is Panchabhudam, Yemen is Panchabhudam, Switzerland is also Panchabhudam. No difference at all. That is spiritual life. That's spiritual life. So why this is happening like this? So so wherever you go, it's only these five material elements. This is only possible for those who have realized. Only for them it is possible, isn't it? And this will come to them very clearly inside, that it's only Panchabhudam that is present in all these places. And wherever they are, what they are seeing actually is the presence of Atma in all these things. So, utilizing these five senses, that is how the mind conducts its vyavaharam in this world. Conducts its vyavaharam in this world. So, through five senses, it will go and capture things from this world and it will collect it and keep it with it. That is what Krishna is saying there. Vishayan upasevate. You see the last line? Vishayan upasevate. That means through the eyes it will see, through the ears it will hear, and in that way five things it will do. Through the nose it will smell, through the tongue it will taste, and through the skin it will touch, and it will collect the experience from all that. Then, after collecting all of them, he will carry those. What you remember what he mentioned there in the last verse, that grihitvaidani samyati, that means he will only take the subtle side of it, not the gross one. We have two things, isn't it? One, the gross experience of the different sense objects. Another side is the subtle side of it, what it has created in us. For example, you have enjoyed something in somewhere,
that impression will be in you in the subtle level. The gross experience is over. When you have finished your holiday and come back, the gross experience is over. But the subtle impression of that holiday will remain within you. You may even forget it, but it has gone in and stayed as a vasana inside. See, all the time we are creating fresh vasana. So, what mind takes away with it is this vasana that it has collected with it. Therefore, what will happen? You will go into the next body. This vasana is still there. Because that vasana is there, it will be looking for an outlet where to release those vasana. So if you have collected some good experience and which you thought it was very pleasing for you and it has created a strong impression inside, that impression will carry on, whether it is Tenerife or Corfu or wherever it is. And in the next life, that vasana will keep pushing for looking for that environment again to release that vasana. So how vasanas controls us in that way. So that is what Krishna is saying in the next verse. We cannot see the jiva. We cannot see the jiva. What do we see? We see only the body, isn't it? Only the body we are seeing. And after the person die, we say, the person is gone, we say. Doctor has come, he tasted the body and he says, he is dead and gone. And we say, yes, he is dead, because the doctor has said. And suppose he comes back again, woke up and come back from the that's when we'll get frightened, isn't it? Doctor has told us he is dead, but he's got up and come back. What we will say? We'll get frightened. So that's why we collect the certificate from the doctor. So that if he comes back, we can say, look, I got the certificate with me, isn't it? So otherwise, what do we need the certificate? He is living or dead? What is this need for certificate? It's actually amusing, this certificate, that certificate, isn't it? Similarly, I am born, I come. Now, do I need to produce a certificate that I am born? So, birth certificate, death certificate, all this has practically no meaning, isn't it? But whatever, we are not bothered about that. What we are interested in is the certificate. Certificate is more important for us. So, who is sitting inside that certificate? That who is inside that body? That we are not bothered. So, who is speaking all these things sitting inside this body? Who is this person? Is he the body? If he is this body, and after he is dead, even if you make him to sit up, he won't be able to sit up, he will fall, isn't it? Certain communities you will see in India, after the death, they decorate the body and put him on a nice sofa set, on a lorry or a truck, and make him sit by supporting from all sides with pillows and all, to make others feel that he is not dead. And then they decorate their body and take him with the drum, beating drums and all that. They say that after death he should have a last journey with the proper music and everything. In so many parts of the world you will see the same thing happening. But that person who is sitting there, whom you have put into sitting posture, he doesn't know anything. What we people are doing for him. So inside him there was someone who was there. What was he doing? You will see in the Kathopanishad it mentions there, Yena Rupa Rasam Gandhan. Krishna says there, in the Upanishad says that there is a verse, Yena Rupam Rasam Gandham Shabdam Sparshamscha Maithunan Ete Neiva Vijayanadi Kimatra Parishyade Edadvaitad. See how Yama is instructing Najigedas. Yama is telling to Najigedas that Yena Rupam Rasam Gandham. That means this, all these different senses. Sparshamscha Maithunan Edo Neiva Vijayanadi Kimatra Parishyade Edadvaitad. As soon as that Atma, when he leaves that body, what happens? All these things stops. Which one? Mind stops, the senses stops its work, and the sense enjoyment in the form of tasting, touching, smelling, seeing, all, everything stops. And he says here, Kimatra Parishishyate Edadvaitada. If he has gone, then what is left in that body? Nothing. Nothing is left in that body, isn't it? The mind is gone with him. So,
inside that body, experiencing everything. That means form, smell, touch, taste, everything. And sense, all kinds of sense enjoyment. Somebody was there inside who was doing that. Yamadharmaraja says to Najiketas, Edadvai Tad. That is Brahma. That is Krishna. That is Krishna. Upanishads, you will see this in this way, trying to explain that some form or the other. How that once the time for the body is over, he walks away. He walks away from the body when the time is over. Just like we walk away from the house. Once we have sold the house, finally we hand over the key to the new tenant or new owner or to the estate agent. Out. Finished with the house. Isn't it? So, this walking away from one body is can be seen by the yogis who have that vision, who have reached that vision, who have realized that vision. And they have confirmed this in many instances when they walk, leave the body and going away. And those who have got that andardrishti, inward-looking nature, they can see that. They can see that very clearly when one mind leaves the body, carrying the jiva, carrying the senses, carrying with all its vasanas, when it transmigrates from one body to another, realized souls can observe that. Krishna is confirming that in the next verse, if you look. Ulkra mandam sthidam vabi. Bunjanam va gunanvitam. Vimudhananupashyandi Pashyandi jnana chakshusha Ulkramandam sthidam vavi Bhunjanam va gunanvitam Vimudhananupashyandi Pashyandi jnana chakshusha. That is it. Ulkramandam sthidam vavi Bhunjanam va gunanvidam Vimudha nanu pashyandi Pashyandi jnana chakshusha. Krishna is saying this. That pashyandi jnana chakshusha. He is seeing who? Jnana chakshusha. Who has got that eyes, that vision, that subtle vision. He can say this. When the jiva mind leaves the body and transfers itself into another body. And while going, he takes with him the jiva, living force, personality with him, all the vasanas with him, impressions, attachment, aversion, raga, dvesham, that's all comes under the title of vasanas. All his senses with him. It's a beautiful verse, this. It's a very beautiful verse. I'll explain it, you'll understand that, enjoy it better. This verse Krishna is saying to us that when he moves from one body to another, he is carrying all these things with him. Which one? He carries his body. When Krishna is saying he is moving from one body to another, it's not the... He's talking about this mind. Mind is the main for Krishna. For Krishna, that is why it is spoken right after talking about the mind. In the last verse, he said, Adhishtayam Anaschayam, isn't it? Adhishtayam Anaschayam Vishayani Upasevade. He said, spoke about the mind. It's the mind who carries everything. He takes it with him. His personality or individuality or whatever courses, seminars he has done here and collected all rubbish what he has taken with him. Everything will go with him. And he will also carry with him all the impressions. All his sensual experiences, impressions or vasanas with him. And senses also goes with him. And he goes into it, go and occupies the next body. Goes to occupy the next body. So, there what happens is, ulkramandam. Look at the words what Krishna has used. Ulkramandam, ulkramam. Ulkramam means, migrates or what is the translation?
Quitting the body.
Quitting the body. Yeah, that's, but in Shastram it's a little bit more than that. It's just not, when you say quitting the body, suppose I left this house and gone away, I quit the house, I can say like that. But it's not like that. This ulkramandam, they will only use it in relationship with
Jiva's transfer. It's a complete spiritual terminology that is. Ulkramandam Sidam Vabi Gunjanam Va Gunanidam Vimudha Nanu Pashyandi Pashyandi Jnana Chakshusha. Krishna says, Prabhupada quotes this verse in many times, in conversations you will see this. Ulkramandam Sidam Vabi Gunjanam Va Gunanidam. So, in us, inside our body, there is a pranan called Udanan. Udanan. And there is only one pranan. But there is five kinds of air, we say. Pancha pranan. We call it as pancha pranan. But actually there is only one. It is the same problem all the time in spiritual life. When you say five, then you will think, I list the five. But these five things are based on the work, what it is doing in the body. So, Udanan, Pranan, Apanan, Udanan, Samanan, Vyanan. These are the five airs in the body. Pranan, Pranopana, Udana, Samana, Vyanan. Five of them. Their flow is important. Where they flow and what they do. Upanishad says, Hridi Pranaha. Pranan is here in the heart part. Udanam Kanda Deshastaha. Udanan is here in the throat. Udanan Kanda Deshastaha. Vyanan Sarva Shariraha. Vyanan all over the body. So, and Pranan, what it does is, it looks after this part. That means, it does the, you know, the pulse, they are all relationship with the Pranan. Circulation of the blood and things like that. Apanan does all our toilet business. Everything is done by Apanan. Samanan is present here in the abdomen area and does all the digestion of the food, Nabhi. That is where Samanan is. And Vyanan is all over the body and looks after all over the circulation of the circulation of the blood also, along with that circulation of the air through the nerves, flow of air through all the body. So, Udanan is the one in the throat. When we die, it is this Udanan that will rise. When we leave the body, Udanan will rise from the body. And it is Udanan will carry Jiva. Udanan carries the Jiva. Alma goes with Udanan. Jiva Alma goes with Udanan. And because Udanan is the one which carry the Jiva, that's why it is called Ulkramam. See the word Ulkramam? It comes from Udanan. Ulkramandam Sidam Vabi Bunjanam Va Gunanvidam Vimudha Nanu Pashyandi Pashyandi Jnana Chakshusha. So, because he does the Ulkramanam, Udanan does the Ulkramanam, therefore Krishna says he is called Udanan. He does the Ulkramanam. So, Ulkramandam. Jiva, when it leaves this body and it does this Ulkramam, the Ulkramam, and Bunjanam va gunanvidam. Permanently present inside the body and Bunjanam va gunanvidam. Three modes of material nature. When we interact with the modes of nature, it is him who is interacting. Bunjanam va gunanvidam. That means that this Udanan has all these functions. While living, Ulkramandam Sidam Vavi Bunjanam Va Gunanidam. Udanan does all these things. Udanan has to, three modes of material nature when it comes in us, to receive them properly and to allow them to function within this body. If Udana Vayu does not allow, these three modes of nature cannot function in the body properly. It's very subtle. All these things are too subtle for us to understand. Yogis have found out this. Otherwise, how would we know this? That Ulkramandam Sidam Vavi Bunjanam Va Gunanvidam. Gunanvidam, because the presence of three modes of nature, What happens? Bunjanam. We enjoy not only eating, all sensual activities based on the gunam that has come inside. Sattugunam will bring its own bunjanam. Rajogunam will bring its own bunjanam. And tamogunam will bring its own bunjanam. That means due to the modes of nature, whatever that is happening inside us, the impact of the, or influence or the net result of the modes of nature is present in us. To support that, Udanam does that in us. So, that is why Krishna is saying here, bunjanam va gunanidam, present in this body, sattugunam, rajogunam, tamogunam, all sense objects comes to us through this gunam, isn't it? Nothing is free from the gunam in the world. You have to remember that. Always Krishna mentions that. Everything in the creation is three modes of nature. Trigunyal bhinna bhedam. That is in the Bhagavadam, Krishna says there to Uddhava that trigunyal bhinna bhedam vasadihi bhuvane heenam adyottamam cha. That means that the house you live, the place you live, the water you drink, the food you eat, the clothes you wear, the mantram you chant, the friends you keep, everything is based on the modes of nature. Based on the modes of nature. So that means all our activities in this world is under the modes of nature. Under the modes of nature. All the objects in this world is under the modes of nature. So when they come inside us, modes of nature is coming in. And Udanan has the responsibility to properly engage them. It is Udanan who does that. So that's what is mentioned here. That Vimudha nanu pashyandi pashyandi jnana chakshusha. Krishna is saying, Vimudha nanu pashyandi, na anupashyanti. This whole function, how it operates, Krishna says, Vimudha nanu pashyandi. Only people who have got only the eyes to see the dead matter, they cannot see it. We have only got the eyes to see the dead matter. Only the matter we can see. Such people cannot see that, Krishna is saying here. So, but what happens is, in spiritual life, with advancement of spiritual understanding, that our eyes will become refined through the process of purification. And when our mind gets purified, heart gets purified, our drishti, vision also gets purified. So Krishna is saying here, pashyandi jnana chakshusha. You will start seeing things properly. Just see how the rishis are telling us that without purification, it is not possible to understand subtle things. Gross things we can through our eyes and senses. But if we continue to exist in this gross level, all the subtle aspects of spiritual life will never become clear to us. We will not understand it. That is why in two lines, Krishna said what he has to say. Vimudha nanyu pashyandi. Pashyandi jnana chakshusha. He is saying. Vimudha, how important it is this subtlety in life. Imagine that. We become gross and gross instead of becoming subtle and subtle. Because we become more gross through our own karmam activities in this world, our own vasanas, we created more and more grossness in us. And therefore, we become more and more mudha. Vimudha nanyu pashyandi. He says, mudha, people who are such mudhas, he says, they cannot see it. He says, how ulkramandam stidam vavi bunjanam va gunanvidam vimudha nanyu pashyandi. Pashyandi jnana chakshusha. But jnana chakshusha, one who has got that knowledge, Krishna is saying, he sees that. There are many, many examples for that. Many, many examples for that. So many great personalities. Not long ago, from recent times, from time immemorial, this is going on. This is Rishi's culture. This is what Rishis have taught us. Become inward, become subtle. And see the subtlety of this. Don't become gross. This is the message to us. Otherwise, all this Bhagavad Gita, Bhagavad Gita's beauty is this subtlety. Is this subtlety. Why Bhagavad Gita is praised by even among those who do not had the they did not have the direct opportunity to study Bhagavad Gita, but in their life great personalities, they have studied Bhagavad Gita and they started accepting that if there is something to be known in this world, instead of fighting in the name of religion and all that, and my God is better than your God is better than my God, all these useless things, try to understand, like the way Bhagavad Gita is advising us to go. This is the path of spiritual life. And that is what is even the among the intellectuals all over the world, they gave credit to Bhagavad Gita, that without giving any slandering or criticizing any other religious text, it managed to get the message of spiritual life in a very exemplary way in the Bhagavad Gita. Why? Because Bhagavad Gita has got only one thing to tell us. That it's not telling us that you can create an institution. Bhagavad Gita is saying you cannot create a Mahatma. That's the difference. You can create an institution, that's not very difficult. Register a charity or get an account number and all that you can do. So many things you can do like that. But you can't create a Mahatma. Mahatma will only come when all these things what Krishna has spoken is practically realized by him. You cannot create that person. Institution you can create, but Mahatmas you can't create. Who is a Mahatma? Ulkramandam sthidam vabi bunjanam vagunanvitam vimudha nanuvashyandi pashyandi jnana jakshusha. That is what Krishna is looking for from the followers. That is what Krishna wants from us. This subtlety, what Krishna is saying there. So, again, coming back to this, Krishna is saying here, that vimudha nani vashyandi. Vimudha, they can only see the gross things in this world. What is the reason? Because in the Jnana Margam, they call it as padartha vasana dardhyam. Due to our association with dead matter, we have developed a firm concept of the matter inside us. We became so material. This is what is called materialism. We think materialism means that you are buying a lot of clothes, driving a big car, or living in a posh house. No. Materialism means that you are always connected with matter. That he is a materialist. Materialist is that person who is always connected with matter. Whether you have a lot of matter or less matter doesn't matter. If you are connected with matter, you are a materialist. Spiritualist is that person who is always connected with the soul. Who is connected with the soul. That's the point Krishna is making here. Padartha vasana dardhyam, it's called. Padartha vasana means always attached to matter. And that in some form, either in the form of whatever way, matter you can get attached in many ways, isn't it? And properties or car or clothes or food or whatever, always attached to matter. Padartha vasana dardhyam, that is what it is called. So what happens is, when you have that attachment to matter, you will continuously see that every individual product separately and as a truth. As a truth. And you start thinking, this mic, this is separate now. This is one padartham. Table, another padartham. Light, another padartham. Everything separately. This is the vision what we have, isn't it? We don't see the oneness in the matter. Everything based on the name and the form, you will see it separately. So, Krishna is saying, no, that is vimudha. Who is seeing like that is mudha. Why? Because of padartha vasana dardhyam. Because of this intensive concept of the matter inside, which has gone inside us. But once that is removed from inside, pashyandi jnana chakshusha, he will start seeing with the knowledge. What is that? Jnana chakshusha means, that means that first thing is, he will see the jiva inside. First thing, what Jnana Chakshusa, one who has got this Jnana Chakshusa. Jnana Chakshusa means the vision or the eyes of knowledge. Eyes of knowledge. One who has got that, the first thing what he will see is Jiva. Inside he will see that there is a thing called Jiva. That's the first step. He will see inside is Jiva. And he will also be able to see that Jiva within him and the Jivas in others as well. Jivas in others as well. This is all a step towards the realization of the truth. So, so just like you can see the doctors, they bring this stethoscope, isn't it? Because they have studied about the body. Body is matter. They studied about the matter. And they put their stethoscope in the ears and then put it on our chest. And then they hold our, what is it called, the pulse, yeah, pulse. And then says to him, and then they make some conclusions from that about our health, isn't it? They make some conclusions from that. Suppose if we hold on to somebody, we don't get an idea what's going on, isn't it? So, so they are unable to say about that because they have studied that body in that particular way. They have studied the body. And similarly, you can also see that in the body, sometimes before they take this scan, they put some liquid into our body so it flows through all over. And with the help of that, they can see how the different organs are functioning or whatever they know, what is the right situation. And that will come out in their screen. When they do the scan, they will see. That's why some of the scans, the CT scan and others, they offer you something to drink before you go for that, isn't it? So, and after studying one body, they understand this, isn't it? When they study one body, that this is the way it works. And many bodies they have studied and they have concluded, there are certain conclusions from that, from studying various bodies, that how it works, the system should work inside. And similarly, this is the doctors who are studying the body, isn't it? Now you take the psychologists or psychiatrists or whatever you call them, I don't know which one it is, psychologists I think, and they study the mind in a similar way. Like the doctors study the body, they study the mind. But only thing is, they get into more trouble with that. The reason is, body is very much more or less fixed. Not fully. More or less it is fixed. You can say that one body will behave more or less similar with another body. But mind, if you start doing that, you have really had it. That will be the end of your study. Because body you can little bit understand in an easy way. Because this mind, what it does is, when the psychologist, when he is studying the mind, it puts him also into great difficulty. Great difficulty. It is very difficult to study this thing called mind. So, more and more he starts studying the mind, he is not able to make conclusions based on one body and one person to another person. Because it is so variegated compared to the body. Body is much more things in common. Whereas in the mind, that commonality is very little. Commonality is very little. So, but the mistake, what happens to them also, they know this. That is why they start trying to see what is fixed in everything. Common in everything. They start looking for it. And sometimes, many times, the mind completely throws them out of their balance, their own balance, mind. They lose their balance afterwards, after studying others' mind, with your mind. Because you are studying again through the mind. You see, that's where the problem comes. So, that is where the difference is. They are studying with the help of their own mind. That is where yogis differ from them. And this is why Yogi has a much, much deeper, subtle understanding of the mind than the psychologists and the psychiatrists. Yogi studies the mind, staying outside the mind. They know how to move away from the mind and observe things, what's happening in the mind. Because that is how their yoga system, all yoga system, whether it's the Ashtanga Yogam or Jnana Yogam or Sankhyam, all of them insist this, that you have to move away from the mind. So they know very well that staying within the mind, you should not study the mind. Whereas in psychology, they study the mind, staying within the mind. There is no, for them it is finished there. Mind and intelligence, that's it, over. After that, nothing exists for them. Whereas for yogis, mind is one platform, and once you have left that, they moved away from that, and they have come to that state, that is why they study it like that. So, the thing what you have to understand here is that, a person who has learned how to observe the movement of one's own mind, he will one day understand that this mind and the jiva are non-different. That's another thing. We are calling with different names, mind, jiva, false ego, intelligence, all sorts of things. That is because when that power force is inside the body, called mind, we are doing so many things. So while doing so many things, based on the activities, we have to discriminate them. Therefore, we call the same mind as false ego when you are acting with ego. When you are identifying with the self, with the body, and when your kartrutva, bhoktrutva is very strong, I am the doer, enjoyer is very strong inside, you got, we say, oh, I have got a hangaram. I call it as false ego. But it is the mind, same thing. And when I am making discrimination in my decisions, I call it as intelligence, but it's the same mind. So in reality, there is only one thing, the mind. But that mind is taking different, he wears a different hat, as they say, isn't it? Sometimes he wears the hat of intelligence, sometimes as a hangaram, false ego, and in different ways he is acting. And sometimes, when he is taking individuality, personality, he is called jiva. Mind is jiva then. This is jiva. But it is the mind that has come from Atma. So therefore, mind is not different from Atma. Jivatma and Paramatma is one and the same thing. When he is acting in this particular way, kartrutva, bhoktrutvam, ragadvesham, individuality, personality, modes of nature, in all these things, when he is caught up, he is called jiva. That's all it is. So, here, you can see here that one who has learned how to move away from the mind, and inside, mind is the same as jiva, and in that, ahangaram is also mixed up. So, ahangaram is mixed up with jiva, is mixed up with the mind. It's all together. It's all together. So, but those who have seen this happening, what is going on inside very clearly, for them, they have this yoga shakti, yogic power, or darshana shakti, Krishna says, it will become very deeper and deeper. They will become very deeper level, they will start seeing these things. Then what will happen? What will happen is, as soon as a person comes in front of them, they will get everything about that person. They will know everything about that person. He is not only seeing the gross body, he will see the subtle body of that person. Everything what is inside. Those who have got that fineness in them, in the vision. It's called the fineness. That fineness of the darshana shakti, prana shakti. That is what Krishna, that fineness is what Krishna calls it as pashyandi jnana chakshusha. He says, that fineness, what comes from that. So, one Mahalpa says, it will be like the, you know, the sweets, what's kept in the sweet stall. They keep ladoo, jalebi and different things, and we walk in front of that and they keep the glass so clean so so that you will go and buy it. Isn't it? Similarly, this yogi can see inside us so clearly what is stacked up inside. My vasanas, my ahangaram, my jivatvam, individuality, personality, everything. he will see like the sweets stock there, sweets in the sweet stall. He will see this inside. So, and as soon as the person comes, he will see this so clearly, like in the bakery where they keep the sweets like that. So, and you won't be able to cover up anything from them. They will have only look at you once. And in the front of these great yogis. But even though they will see all these things, they will not bother about it. They won't worry about it. Why? The reason for that is, one Mahatma says, they asked him, do you see our mind? He said his answer was, I don't have the habit of picking up the garbage, he said. That was his answer. In other words, he is seeing our mind, but he is not affected by that. You have to remember, they have also come through this, like us. We are now here in this state, but they have passed through this state. So they know that there is nothing, we think that, oh, somebody is bad, somebody is good and all that. From our level, we are judging things. But they don't do that. They don't do that judging others. Why? Because they know what it is like. They also struggle hard to come out of this, isn't it? So even if they have seen all bad things in us, inside us, they have the habit of not taking it, not noticing it, not giving any attention to it. They leave it at that. So, because they have that compassion for us. They have the compassion for us. So, whatever weaknesses we have or we had in the past, and whatever weaknesses we are going to have in the future, they have gone through all these weaknesses in their own life, and which they are aware of. That's a beauty. They are aware of all the weaknesses, what they have gone through. And because they know that, they won't give any importance to our weaknesses. They know it, they understand, they see these things, but they won't take any notice of it. This is how they are. This verse drives you into a lot into the subtlety of the realized souls, how they interact with the world. So, ulkramandam sthidam vavi, bunjanam va gunanvidam, vimudha nanu pasyandi, pasyandi jnana chakshusha, pasyandi jnana chakshusha. So, they have gone through all these things and they have moved away from that. So, because they have gone through this, they have an infinite compassion for others who are suffering with these things, isn't it? So, and they don't have any hate towards anyone, Mahatmas who are realized. Suppose at home somebody got sick, got flu or a fever or something, you won't fire that person, would you? That you got flu. Why did you get flu? That question, isn't it? So sometimes mothers will say to the children, oh, you got wet because of the rain, you were running around, that's why you got the sick. But if it is a good mother, what will the mother do? Mother will know that it is a disease and give the medicine. That's what the mother will do, isn't it? Similarly, all the acharyas also, all the great spiritual personalities, they know this disease of the mind. That's called vyadhi. This is of the mind. And they don't know, take it as a serious thing. Like we take it. We take very seriously about it, isn't it? Somebody says something or did something. But it is a disease inside the person. And jnani sees that so clearly, he doesn't take it seriously because he knows very well that it is the disease of the mind. That's the problem. There it is. Therefore, he knows very well there is a jiva inside, and that jiva, he is wearing one dress, which is this thing called mind. Mind is like a cover on the top, like a balaclava. He has put that on the top and is sitting there. And they can see this very well because they are like an X-ray machine. The jnanis are like an X-ray machine. They will see through this. So, inside their body, what they are saying here is that yogis have got the capacity to see everything what is happening inside the jiva. So, and not only in the human body, they can even see in the animals and all other kinds of living entities. So, and they can see that. There was one sannyasi, not long ago, about 80, 90 years he lived before, and one person asked him that, is it possible to see all these things, what you are saying, like this, what Krishna is saying like this in the Bhagavad Gita? He told, didn't give an answer directly. He didn't give an answer directly. So, he was going with the person who asked this question to him. They're walking through the field. So, at that time, some farmer was plowing the field. So, the bulls were there, and you know, they got the yoke, which is kept across the neck on the both the bulls. And then he is holding on to that plow, and he has got the whip in his hand, the farmer. He's plowing the land, and he's beating the bulls. Because sometimes when they plow, you must have seen. Nowadays there is nobody plowing. Everyone is tractor now, isn't it? So that nobody can, you cannot, this has to be, you have to bring a photograph and show to people. This is how they plowed the land before. Most of the children don't know. Sometimes you ask the children about plowing the land, they know only tractor, they don't know anything else. That's what they have seen. If you tell them where is the food coming from, Sainsbury's, they'll say. So that's what they have seen. On the Kellogg makes the food and he packs it and gives it to us, and there'll be some toys or something inside. This is they have not seen where wheat is grown, where rice is grown, nothing, no idea. So that's it. So similarly, this Swamiji says at that time to him that person who was standing next to him, that bull, one of them, is his uncle in the previous life. The farmer who was beating him, that was his uncle in the previous life. And can you see how he is beating him? Paying back from the last life. What the uncle has tortured him a lot, it's coming back in this life. And this Swami Sannyasi was very expert at it. He was a yogi, he was a jnani as well, both. And there is a lot of conversation between him and Vivekananda's time it was happening. And Vivekananda asking him questions about various things, because some of the things related to yoga systems, he was well versed in that. He speaks about that. So, one instance what happened was, on somebody's house, there were a problem with the rats. And, so sannyasi told that householder, don't kill the rats. This householder told, you keep telling me don't kill the rats. Look what they have done to me. They have come and all his good clothes, they have torn them into pieces. And, you know, because those days it was like that. Clothing, nowadays there is so much clothing. But in them days, clothes were always short. Mills and industry was developing. Many of them were hand-woven. And therefore, people didn't have so many clothes like today. One or two pieces of clothes, they were wearing them and they were satisfied with that. So, the rats have come and it has completely torn them into pieces. So he said, if I don't kill them, I won't have anything here to wear, he said. Everything will be torn like this. Swami, this sannyasi says to him, is this world only for us to live? That was his answer. That should they also not live in this world because of his proper realizations, you see. So he told him, bring some grains, he said. He told him to bring some grains. And he threw the grains there, and in a very special way he made some noise. And what happened at that time? About 50, 60 rats have come in a line, one behind the other. They all came and stood in front of him. In a particular way, he created the yoga system, how they have developed it to such a fineness. All of them came and stood there. He asked them, which one of you have torn the cloth? Has bitten and torn the cloth. One of them came out from that and stood separately. This is how it is. He came and stood separately. So, and he was very respectful, that rat who came out. So he told that, right, you should never do this again, eating the, cut, biting the, tearing the clothes off, because if you do that, they will keep poison. They will put poison for you. And in other words, he is coming from Srimad Bhagavatam side. Sarvabhuta Hridayam Vinimanatosmi. In that rat also, Krishna is present. That is his vision. So he is saying to him that we are all one. We are not different. You, me, the rat, he is telling, talking to the rat. And the householder is standing there, watching this. He is saying to the rat, we are all one. We are not two. We are not so different. We are all one. Body, your dress is different. My dress is different. But inside you, inside me, it's one. They are not different. So, and they do not know this. Who, the householder, does not know this. And they only know their problems. Who, the householder. Householder only thinks about his problems of life. Isn't it? Therefore, he will put poison for us. And from the next day onwards, there was no rats in the house. They've gone. They've gone away. Because his point was, they don't know. They are poor, innocent people. They don't have spiritual knowledge or anything. Suppose you keep the poison there, they will go and bite that also without any knowledge, because all he knows is how to eat the rats, isn't it? So what he will think, that this pure devotee in the house has kept something nice for me to eat. That's what the rats will think. Parama Bhagavatam inside the house has kept something for me to eat, because in them days when they put this rat poison, they'll put some nice food, what the rats like, and they will put the poison on that, so the rats will see the food, what it like, and go and bite it straight away. As soon as they bite it, it will die. It will die. So once we know this, that this relationship with other living entities, somehow or the other, Shastram is saying to us, every living entity who comes to us in some relationship in this life, we had some relationship with them in the past. If we come to know this, then we won't give trouble to others. So, suppose if you knew that this person had given you trouble in the past life, then you will react, won't you? Well, you have given me this problem in the last life. I am going to pay you back now for what you have done to me. So that is why even within the family also, they have come there as family members, because there was something, some transaction between us and them in the previous life or life before that. We don't know when it was happened. That is why they are there. And they have come to settle the account. We are there to settle the account. So knowing very well, we should not make that account to grow. Rather, close the account as quickly as possible. That's what is required. So any prani, any living being in this world, they are coming and contacting us with some previous connection. With some previous connection. So yogis see this. Yogis can see this. And they also see that truth, what is present inside. They also see the truth that is present inside. Therefore, what is happening there is that, just like when you want to learn certain kind of treatment, you have to remain with the specialist. He will teach you directly. You can't learn from the books. You have to be with the physician who is practicing it. Similarly, we have to go and remain with a person who knows that. Only then we will know what's our defects, what our defects are, and where our faults are. These things will be known only if you are with someone who can point out these things to us and who can see these things inside us. We cannot look at it ourselves most of the time. And if we can't do that, they will be able to help us. So, for example, many times, if our false ego becomes very strong, ahankaram inside, and you will not easily give up to anything, isn't it? Ahankaram won't allow us to give up anything. But because they can observe our subtle body very carefully,
And along with that, the jiva's activities inside. And he can also see that jiva entering into the body and jiva leaving the body. Jiva leaving the body. That is what Krishna is saying here. They can see everything that is happening inside us. Ulkramandam sthidam vavi, gunjanam va gunanidam, vimodha nanu pasyandi, pasyandi jnana chakshusha. It's a very famous verse. Yogis like it, jnanis like it, devotees like it, everybody likes it. Because it is so subtle. We'll discuss it later.
Chedo darpanam arjanam bhavamahadava agni nirvapanam saidava chandriga vidaranam vidyavadu jivanam anandam budivardhanam pratipada purnamhridaswadanam sarvapna svapanam varam vijayate shri krishna sankirtanam nam namakari bahuda nija sarva shakti tatrarpida nemida smaranena kalam ఏదాదృశీ తవ కృపా భగవాన్ మమామి దుర్దైవమీదృశమిహా జనినానురాగాః తృణారభిషునీచేన తరోరభీ సహిష్ణున అమానినామానదేన కీర్తనీయ సదాహరీ నధనం నజనం నసుందరీం కవితాం వా జగదీశ కామయే మమ జన్మని జన్మని ఈశ్వరీ భవదాత్ భక్తిరహై దుగిత్వయి ఐ నందననుజ కింకరం పతితామాం శమే భవాంబుదౌ కృపయా తవ పాద పంగజ స్థిత దూలీ సదృశం విచిందయాం నయనం గలద శ్రుధారయ వదనం గద్గద రుద్ధయా గిరా పులకేర్ నిజితం కదా వపు తవ నామ గ్రహణే భవిష్యతి యుగాయితం నిమేషేణ చక్షుషా ప్రావిశాయితం శూన్యాయుదం జగత్ సర్వం గోవింద విరహేణ మే శివా పాదరదాం పినష్టు మాం అదర్శనా మర్మహదాం కరోతు వా యథా తథా వా విదధా దులంబన మత్ ప్రాణనాథాస్తు నయేవనాపరా ఉల్క్రామందం స్థితం వాపి గుంజానం వా గుణాన్వితం విమూఢా నాను పశ్యంతి పశ్యంతి జ్ఞానచక్షుషా.
సో as mentioned before, that those who have that jnana chakshusa, the eyes of knowledge, vision of knowledge, what they can see is, they can see our subtle body very well, very clearly, isn't it? Along with the subtle body, they will see that false ego also. They will see the presence of all that. And they can also see when they leave the body, the subtle body, when it leaves its gross body and transfers into another body. All these things are visible for them. Visible for them. In Tirutani, in famous Subramanya Swami temple from Chennai, if you go, you'll see there was Ramalinga Swamiji who used to sit there. And they used to say, he used to come there for visiting the deity there. And at that time, there was one Siddha who had this kind of vision of people's nature. So when people, devotees were coming to the temple, he used to sit there in the temple and say, here comes a dog, he says. People are walking into the temple. Here comes a cat, here comes a tiger. Like this, he was referring to different, because everyone knew about him, that his perfection in the spiritual path, nobody took offense at it. Because when somebody is saying like that, he was not addressing him that it's a dog or cat. He says, here he's coming. A dog is coming, a cat is coming, or a tiger is coming, an elephant is coming. So many monkey is coming, depending on what he was seeing in that person. Finally, when Ramalinga Swamiji walked in, he says, here comes a human being, he said. That's what it is. If we all walked through, I don't know what he would have said about us. That seeing our vasanas inside. So that is the situation. So our previous life, Purva Janmam, and our vasanas, they will see.
Otherwise, we can't see our own vasana. How can we see our vasana? How we will know our own vasana? That's not possible. So, different kinds of vasanas in different people in different forms. There's nothing you can do about it, isn't it? So, you can see this. Sometimes you can see when there is places where there's a lot of beggars, you have completely now wiped them out, isn't it, from the world. Nobody's allowed to beg because begging is considered to be against the law now. But previously when begging was legal, it was allowed, but there was a lot of beggars also in many, many villages and all that. When they come, they will ask for some donation or something, and some householders will say, there's nothing here, you can't give you anything. Or they'll say, oh, better to untie the dog and let it go, and the dog will speak to him. In other words, in its own way, isn't it? So these are all different vasanas inside us to behave like that. According to our vasana, we'll behave with the poor people when they are starving and they come asking for food or something. We say, oh, why are you begging? Why are you begging? You should be working. There's a lot of people like that who believe in that very strongly. They say people should not beg, should be working. There's no job. What to do? So the thing is this, that according to our vasana, we will react in such situations. So, so we have these vasanas, sometimes like the cat, or sometimes like the monkeys, all kinds of vasanas inside us. So, when Ramalinga Swami walked in, he said, here comes a human being. So, because he has seen only the vastu inside, the vastu what is inside, didn't care for the dress outside, didn't care for the dress outside. So, many times, there was one great Mahatma, he had many disciples in one of the ashrams. I think it was in Bihar or Madhya Pradesh, somewhere like that. He was well known at that time, in his time. And he had many people in his ashram. And he was very expert in these things, knowing well what the nature of that disciples were. He could see through the disciples' vasanas so well. And he has segregated them in a very nice way. Some of them he knew that their tendency is for bhakti. Some of them he knew that their tendency is for jnanam. Bhakti won't work for them. He says better not to mix with them, mix them together. One of them has lived through the bhakti yoga process for many generations. So that bhakti samskaram, bhakti culture has developed in him so well. There was no point in trying to inject jnanam into him. It won't work. Similarly, the other person who had a lot of jnana culture in him, jnana margam, jnana vasana in him, there is no point in trying to inject bhakti traditions into him. It will not work because in many lifetimes before, the vasanas have already separated them according to their vasana. Even though we say jnanam bhakti is non-different, ultimately it's one and the same, self-realization, realizing the truth. But the spiritual activities, what a jnani does, or what a devotee does will be different, isn't it? Devotees, spiritual life goes in one way, jnani spiritual life goes in a different way. So in that ashram, quite often visitors used to come. So visitors will bring a lot of sweets and things like that to give it to the ashram residents as a mark of respect. That was the custom them days. So, but often when they were brought in, this person, this sannyasi who was running this ashram or was in charge of the mutt, he will not allow anybody to take it. And whatever that has come in, when the person brings the sweets, he will see the person's heart inside, very clearly what kind of vasanas he had. And knowing well that that may damage some of his disciples, because they will come. When you accept things from others, naturally their vasanas will come with that offering also. So, so when he received them, he will not give them to everybody, all the disciples. He will select the disciples and then he will distribute the sweets. Initially, the disciples could not understand this very well, but he had to, and it may look very awkward that you, somebody has brought some sweets into an ashram and that you have given it to some people, some others didn't get it. So he always distributed between these two persons, who are advanced in jnanam and who was advanced in bhakti. To both of them, he gave the sweets a lot. Because he said that they will not be disturbed by this, because they have gone beyond all these things. You cannot anymore pollute their consciousness, those two people. Others, he said, I have to be watchful about them. This is how subtle and how sensitive they were to these things. So, he used to say this, that one is the fire of knowledge and the other one is the fire of devotion. He used to say about these two disciples in his, because there were many people like that. He had 20-25 major devotees who had stayed with him for a very long period of time and who learned a lot from him, because he was a very advanced person spiritually. So he used to say that, I can give anything to these two people, everything will get digested, he said, but not to others, he said. That's how discriminating he was. He said, others, if you've taken a little bit of that, it's like poison for you. He used to say this. And you know that, he used to say that, there is a thing in Shastram, they call it a Samudriya Lakshanam. Samudriya Lakshanam means that looking at a person's physical form, giving a report about his previous life. You can talk about that. Looking at a physical form of a body, single form of a body. So, because what they're saying is, this body what we have got is based on the vasanas what we have. The body what we have now is based on the mind has made this body for us, isn't it? How did the mind make this body? Based on whatever kind of desires we had, whatever kind of vasanas we had. It's based on that this body is created, structured in that way. So therefore he used to say this, that when he saw the devotees who have joined that ashram, at that time he used to say that he used to take them to a room and look at them physically, whole body, for a few minutes. He used to look at his body. From the eyes, looking at his eyes, he could say that whether he has got the eyes of a yogi or eyes of a hardcore materialist. He could say that. And some people's eyes, he used to say, it's like a lotus eyes. And different symptoms like that. So, different attributes attached to different parts of the body. He used to say that this is all based on the subtle body inside. Subtle body inside. Depending on the vasanas inside, the formation of the different parts of the body. They have taken the shape and form the way it is. So then he will first decide in which category I should put him. Looking at his body. Quite surprising, isn't it? He looks at the body, and because Samudriya Lakshanam is one way of seeing his vasanas. And he also knew, he will compare that with the internal subtle body, the vasanas there. And then he will make the decision in which category I should bring him into. This is all, jnanis does that. They have that capacity to do that. So, when you hear and read all these things, you can understand how subtle spiritual life is. Isn't it? How subtle spiritual life is. He used to say, jnanam, bhakti, everything is one. But for some people, only jnanamargam will work. And for some others, only bhaktimargam will work. That's the way it is. That's nothing you can do about it. There's no point in arguing about it, fighting about it, he said. Because what can be done? It has come like that. It has come like that. And both of them are born with two different kinds of bodies for those purposes. One is a Vaishnavam, another one is a Shaivam. What can be done? What can be done? So similarly, he used to offer them. Somebody accepted Tulsi leaves without any difficulty. Someone else won't accept Tulsi leaf, he will only accept the Villupatram, the willow leaves. So you can see from there itself that there is that vasana inside. Those who are devotees of Shiva, who worship Shiva for a long time through willow leaves, naturally he will be attracted by that. So there are different ways that they will understand these things. This is showing that their subtle body has become so fine inside and they are in two different planes. They are in two different planes. So, and that differences you can notice in their imaginations and in their interactions also. This is all known to them. We won't know any of these things because we are, what are we? We are like, Prabhupada Kolanko used to say, that white gross elephant used to say like that. That such a huge body we have, but no subtlety in anything, isn't it? All we know is how to dress up the body, make it posh and look nice to others. That's all what we know about this body. Nothing about the subtlety of this. So similarly, they will notice this difference, this particular kind of nature in them. And they will review it and they will make their decisions. And they know that with such and such a nature, this will be their vasanas inside. And how did they do all these things? You will notice some of their disciples who have come up later in future life. Nobody told them, about their past life. How did they become, not by their effort that they have become like that. By their effort that is like that. So, first time itself, when their spiritual master saw them, they will say like this, that how did a person like this arrive here? They could say like that. To such an extent, they were convinced about the greatness of the disciple. They knew, how did this person arrive in my presence? They were shocked themselves with seeing that personality. So, these things do happen. That is what Krishna is saying here. Ulkramandam sidam vavi, bunjanam va gunanvidam, vimudha nanu pashyandi, pashyandi jnana chakshusha. Only those who have got that jnana chakshusha will be able to say these things. Be able to say these things. And this is particularly important when one has gone quite far in spiritual life. In the early days, as Krishna says, Jnana Yogam, Bhakti Yogam, Karma Yogam, everything is necessary. You can't straight away, because we don't know what is our way, what is meant for us to happen, what our vasanas are. So, in the early days, one has to go through everything. That is why you can't reject any part of Bhagavad Gita. You have to follow this Karma Yogam part, Bhakti Yogam part, Jnana Yogam part also. You can't reject anything. It's only after a long time of this samskaram building up inside, Antaryami's guidance will come from within and Antaryami will start driving the spiritual life from inside, telling us go in this direction, go in this direction. And you will also feel that is what Krishna says before, that once you have come to spiritual life, there is no going back from that. It's a forward journey all the time. All the time. Temporarily there may be some setbacks, but that doesn't matter because this samskaram, whatever that is developed inside, will never leave. It will remain there. It will manifest in this life. It will, even after leaving this body, in the next body, this whole thing will come back again and influence us. And then again you continue the spiritual journey further from there. So, this is why it is mentioned there that all, if you go into, look at Vivekananda's history, if you read, you will see these things happen. Ramakrishna Paramahamsa used to say, how did this person arrive here? I don't know, he said, about him. Similarly, there were Kavyakanda Ganapati in Ramana Maharshi's case. He was saying that because the person had already gone so far, Maharshi didn't take very long to recognize him, who he is. He came from 1,000 miles away from Benares to see him. As soon as he saw, he said, how did he arrive here? He said, because this is their vision. Pashyandi jnana chakshusha. So, that is the way spiritual life goes. That's what Krishna is saying here. So, anyway, coming back to this, that In many, many cases, if you read their history, you will find several incidents happening there. It is not that spiritual master had any specific partiality towards one disciple. That's not how it happens. What happens is, because the disciple has gone so far in spiritual life, he may be at a very tail end of his spiritual journey. And he has come to a great personality. So naturally the great personality will recognize him and will give such instructions to him. Whereas a new person who had come, he may be starting his journey now. And naturally the instructions given to him may be on a different level. In a different level. Isn't it? This is bound to happen. Like in school also, when you have students, we always say that in the classroom they require, the intelligent boys or girls, they require a different challenge than the dull ones or who doesn't have that brain. Isn't it? This difference will always, it's in even a spiritual life, this happens. It cannot be avoided. This will always be there. So that's the point. Why? Because Pashyandi Jnana Chakshusha, they will see through us where our problems are, and they will be in a position to correct it. And if we, because, but there is one thing here, that is the most important thing. Even if you come to get to know a person like that, who is in that state, unless you surrender to him, nothing will be known. That's where the problem is, isn't it? That people, we will come to know many Mahalpas living in this world, but because we don't surrender to them, they will not show any interest. They will treat you, because they will see your ego inside, and the person doesn't want to surrender. He wants just come as a visit to evaluate or to study. So therefore, that person, he will not show any, that visit will not be of much of a use. This is the point. Everything depends on, if you get to know a person who is in that state, if you are willing to surrender and serve him, and with that commitment to take instructions from him, you can't have any reservation there. If there is reservations, then the system won't work. It won't work. That is the difficult part of it. Even today, also in the world, there are people like that. But you have to be prepared for that, to go and to do that kind of serious inquiry and surrender is necessary there. This is the difficult part of it. So, and that is why you can see in spiritual life, Mahalpas are silent workers, they are. Very silently they do things. Very silently they do things. And when they are living, not many people will know about them. 50 people, 100 people may know about them. Only when one of their disciples became very famous, due to their advancement, then we start inquiring who was his spiritual master. And we go in a different way, in a material way we start evaluating. Actually, spiritual master was a great personality who had the vision to see the subtle body of that person and able to take him in the path properly. That was the greatness of the spiritual master. We think that the disciple, because sometimes we inquire that, oh, if there was such a great spiritual master, I would have liked to be with him or take initiation. That's all we want, only initiation, nothing more than that. No surrender, only initiation. This is the modern system, modern world. Everybody wants an initiation, that's all. And to tell the world that, look, I'm initiated by so-and-so. That's it, that finishes the chapter. So he also takes it in the same way. So it is only because this surrender is not there, and that Mahalpa will not reveal his, he is not going to talk to us about his, our needs, spiritual needs will not be discussed. So that is why you can create an organization, but you can't create a Mahalpa. Organization you can create, but you can't create a Mahalpa. That's not possible. So who will find a Mahalpa? Only another Mahalpa can find. He who can see the Vastu inside in someone, only that person can develop him, isn't it? One who had the vision. Like Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati saw Srila Prabhupada and noticed in him that special quality of bhakti in him. So it came out. in due course of time. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati knew about it. Similarly, you will look at it, so many traditions. This happens all the time in so many different traditions. It's always one who had that vision to see in someone that if you instruct him, it will work. He has to know that. Only then he will instruct that person. In the Srimad Bhagavatam, you will see this Jatabharata and Rahugana, isn't it? Bharata Maharshi saw Rahugana, and Bharata Maharshi didn't instruct anybody else. His own brothers who lived with him, he didn't instruct them anything about spiritual life. And then Bhadrakali came there. Bhadrakali wanted to ask Bharata Maharshi, what should I, wanted to have a conversation with him. Bharata Maharshi says to Bhadrakali, what conversation should I have with you? He said, I don't want to talk to you. He says to Bhadrakali, I said, I don't want anything to talk to you. Because as far as there is no need to talk to Bhadrakali. Why? Bhadrakali is in the realized state. So what is there to discuss? She is in the realized state. So there is no point in discussing with him. And many others, all those people who tried to get him, Jatabharata wanted to take him for the sacrifice, isn't it? He didn't speak one word to them. He thought about it. Should I speak to them? No. Useless. Waste of time. Because there's nothing in them spiritually. They've just come from the animal kingdom to the human body. That's all. What are you going to talk to them? So he didn't want to waste his time. But when Rahugana came, he thought about it first. Should I talk to him or should I not? Rahugana's, Bharata Maharshi's words, he's saying. On one level, when he looked at Rahugana, he seems to be serious about spiritual life. Why? He was going to Kapila Maharshi's ashram, looking for a spiritual master. That's one. First qualification he had. Secondly, he has studied Shastram very well. He knows the Shastram well. The only thing what he could see in Rahugana was that he had total identification, quite a lot of identification with the body. Dehabhimanam. He says Dehabhimanam. So he thought he is knowledgeable and he is serious about spiritual life, and so it is worthwhile instructing him. And that is how Bharata Maharshi started talking to him. Jatabharata started talking to Rahugana. Otherwise Jatabharata would not have any conversation with him. Rahugana was full of pride, isn't it? He said, I was a king and I'll punish you. So many things he spoke, very harsh words to him. So Jatabharata started smiling, seeing all these things, and he decided to speak. And that is what you see in the Bhagavatam in the 5th canto. Bharata Rahugana Samvadam, famous in the Bhagavatam. There you will notice the same thing. Pashyandi Jnana Chakshusha. Pashyandi Jnana Chakshusha. Dattatreya Maharshi and Yadu in the Bhagavatam. This is the same thing there. Yadu Maharaj, King Yadu, comes to see Dattatreya Maharshi. They have a conversation in the Bhagavatam. How are you living like this? Yadu Maharaj asking to Dattatreya. Dattatreya is lying fully naked on the riverbank in the sand. And Yadu is saying that sometimes you don't get the food, nobody is feeding you, nobody is looking after your body, and you seem to be so happy. Where is this happiness coming from? So, hearing the questions from the Yadu, and hearing that the subtle body of Yadu, you have to remember who Yadu is, Yayati's son. When the whole kingdom was handed over to Yadu, Yadu told Yayati, I don't want your kingdom, keep your kingdom to yourself. This life is more valuable for self-realization. So, at that time, Yayati threw him out from the house and he left. And it is that Yadu who is asking this question to whom? To Dattatreya. So Dattatreya knows very well, this person is a serious person in spiritual life. And he is asking serious question. It is then this 24 spiritual masters he has spoken to Yadu, who Dattatreya Maharshi. Whereas other children, Yayati had 5 kids, isn't it? Yadu, Druhyu, Anidruhyu, Turvasu, Puru, 5 of them. Out of these 5, only Yadu had that brain. 2. That shows that seriousness in spiritual life. Seriousness. that shows that inside, Yadu says to Yayadi, to his father, that you know Yayadi's story, that he had these two wives, Sharmishtha and Devayani, Shukracharya's daughter and Mrishabharwa's daughter. Due to Yayati's prarabdham, he got involved with these two marriages. And it dragged him all the way through in his life. And finally, Yayati managed to escape from that. Devayani had her prarabdham, Sharmishtha had her prarabdham, and Yayati had his prarabdham. All these three are linked together. These three prarabdham. That is what you read in the Bhagavatam. Their three prarabdham is together to go through that. And finally, Yayadi got this curse from Shukracharya that old age will take control, jara, take control, and he became old. And Yayadi's desires have not gone from inside. Whereas Yadu, all desires have gone from an early age in life. So you can imagine where the son stands, where the father stands. Father still wants to enjoy life. Son saying, I want to realize the self. And when Dattatreya Maharshi saw Yadu, this is that. Vimudhana pasyandi jnana chakshusha. He saw this is a person worthwhile talking to about spiritual life. And therefore, that Yadu Dattatreya Samvadam in the Bhagavatam we got. And Krishna is saying, this has happened as an example to us. All to show to us how true these words are in the Bhagavad Gita. That is why everything what you read and understand in the Bhagavad Gita, when you start looking into Bhagavatam, you will see it's all a fact what has happened at several times. And Krishna is repeatedly telling us that this is the path to go to. That's the only way to realize the truth. So, vimudha nanyu pasyandi pasyandi jnana chakshusha. Drihyu anudrihyu others, they were given big kingdoms and they went away. Turvasu also. Puru said, oh, you are my father. I should listen to you. Whereas Yadu didn't say that. You are my father, I should listen to you. No. Yadu said, no, life is meant for self-realization. For a higher purpose, the lower things you can ignore. Of course, one should listen to the father. It is a rule of the morals of the world. But if it is for self-realization, even that you can give up. That's the law, principle. Father is not important. And to such an extent, Yadu was in a higher state. Whereas Puru said to the father that because you are my father, I must listen to you. Otherwise, there's three kinds of children spoken in the Bhagavatam. One who listens, one who doesn't listen, and one even after instructions won't listen. One who knows the father, what father wants, knowing that and doing it for him, best one. And the second one is one who listens after being instructed by the father. And the third one who doesn't listen even after being instructed. So three kinds of sons in this world. So there in the Bhagavatam it says, Shuka Brahmarshi mentions that. He says that those law only applies if you are not into self-realization. If you are into realizing the truth, all the other law is secondary. They are not primary anymore. This is the primary thing. So Yadu had that understanding. He was willing to reject Yayadi and go for self-realization. Because how Krishna recognized that. And that is why Krishna says, I am a descendant of that Yadu. Krishna says with proud, I am a descendant of that Yadu. That's what Krishna is called Yadava, isn't it? Yadavaya, Madhavaya, Keshavaya, Namaha. So then tradition Krishna upholds, Krishna feels proud that I am a descendant of Yadu. Yadu is respected very much because of that in the Srimad Bhagavatam. And not only that, Shuka Brahmarshi says there, Yador vamsham narashrutva sarva bhavai pramuchyade. A special benediction to Yadu's dynasty. What is that? If you hear about Yadu and his descendants, sarva bhavai pramuchyade, all sinful reactions will go. This is in the Bhagavatam. Yador vamsham narashrutva sarva bhava pramuchyade. To such an extent, Yadu has been glorified by Bhagavatam for this particular relationship with Dattatreya and his steadiness and firmness in spiritual life. feminist and spiritual life. And that was noticed by Dattatreya, which is again this Pashyandi Jnana Chakshusha. They didn't talk to anybody else. Another example in the Bhagavatam with Dattatreya and Prahlada. You have seen that in the 7th canto. Kaveri river bank, Dattatreya Maharshi is lying there. Prahlada goes to him. Prahlada says to him that, why are you lying like this? What has made you to be like this? And looking at Prahlada, Dattatreya understood this is a great soul. So he speaks to him, which you can read in the 7th canto. So like this, it's always that Pashyandi Jnana Chakshusha. And when you look at Prahlada's relationship with Dattatreya or Yadu's relationship with Dattatreya, you can see their inquiry, method of inquiry, that humility in their inquiry, that surrender in them. All this is a part of that evolving process in spiritual life. So that's another important thing. So seeing the person's body is no use. We have to see the person inside the body. Inside the body. So many people, many jnanis, yogis, great realized souls, if you look into their history, you will see that they have found out whoever had come to them. They remained in one place and whoever had come to them, they looked at them and they found out who is inside first, inside their body, and then they separated them, good ones and the bad ones. Not in the sense that, not in the way that they rejection, but putting them in the different, streaming them, in other words, streaming them properly, in the proper way. So you can see this in the history, if you look, that Ramakrishna also had done this. He had 17 important disciples, very, very, very good disciples. Vivekananda was one of them. And what he did was, among his 17 sannyasis he had, out of those 17 sannyasis, 8 or 9 of them, he considered them in a very higher level. But all of them were so respectful to each other, not arguing and quarreling and fighting, but always in a very loving way, they had their relationship with each other. Many of them wrote many books and many of them have traveled and established mutts and all that. But he also knew that seven or eight of them didn't require much of a help, he said. They've already reached a very high level. Some others needed much more help. And he also said that in due course of time, they will also progress to a higher level. So, when they arrived there, they all came at different times in the history, in the ashram there, in Belur. When they arrived there, he could even tell them who are the deity, which deity they have worshipped in their life, previous life. And what was their speciality. Each one of them, he could say about them. This incident happened with many, many personalities like that. So that's the thing. Ulkramandam Sidam Vavi Bunjanam Va Gunanyidam Vimudha Nanu Pashyandi Pashyandi Jnana Chakshusha. So importance of that Jnana Chakshusha. But if all this is not there, then what will happen? Suppose the guru doesn't have any of this. And the disciples also coming from the from the animal world, he has entered into the human world. In his first dress he has got, this dress is the first dress. What will happen then? That's also we have to discuss, isn't it? The guru has no clue what it is all about. He's saying that he cannot see anything inside. That is why Acharya Swamiji mentions in the Viveka Chudamani, he says there, Shishya with Tabahari. If you cut that word, Shishya with Tabahari. According to the Shastram, Guru is meant for removing the distress of the disciple. Tapam is distress, isn't it? Tapahari, one who is in a position to remove the distress of the disciple. Because you know in Vivekachudamani mentions that when the disciple goes to the spiritual master, he says to him, I am in great distress. Is there any way to get out of this material existence? That's what he is asking. So spiritual master says to him, yes, there is a way to come out. It is not I have found out this method. Our great rishis, they have shown it to us and they have laid the path for us. I have followed that path. If you want, I can take you in that path. This is how the spiritual master will say to the disciple, if he is proper spiritual master. He won't say, oh, I have developed some new technology, I am going to give it to you. We'll try that. No, never. It's always based on the Shastram and based on the Rishi's realizations in the Upanishads. So, who is spiritual master? Spiritual master is that person who knows the disciple very well. Disciple? Very well. Or who is capable of removing his distress. If it is not like that, what will happen? He says, Shishyavid plus Tapahari. It's a pun in the Sanskrit language. Shishyavit means he knows the disciple. Vid means Vedavit, like we say, Shishyavit, who knows the disciple, plus Tapahari, who is supposed to remove his distress. But if you remove that plus sign, what will happen is Shishya Vitavahari, one who will steal all the money from the disciple's pocket. That's what he will turn out to be at the end. That's what will happen. Shishya Vitavahari. Only a very small change. Shishya Vitavahari it is in the Vivekachudamani. But if you, I think Acharya Swamiji has deliberately used that to tell the world, look, don't get into this trap. Shishyavit Tavahari will become Shishyavit Tavahari. Tavahari. So, Gurevo Bhave Sandhi Shishyavit Tavaharanam. So, how will you know that? Because that person, he is seeing the Vastu inside. He is seeing the Vastu inside. In other words, he sees Paramatma inside who has become Jiva Bhutam. Like we said before, Jivabhudam Mahabaho Yedam Dharide Jagat Mamayvamsho Jivaloki Jivabhuda Sanatanam. So that is the next verse. So a little bit of effort itself, they should be able to see the Jiva separately from the body. Once when we say he is seeing the Jiva, what it means is Jiva means what? Ahankara, ego. Kartrutva Bhoktrutva, I am the doer, I am the enjoyer. Ragadvesham, modes of nature. This is all for the Jiva. All these things combined together is the Jiva, isn't it? So, he should be able to see that Jiva inside, separately from other parts of the body, and in the form of the mind, in the form of the senses, in the form of the vasanas, you will see the Jiva standing inside separately. He will see everything separately. The Jiva's mind, the Jiva's vasanas, and the Jiva's senses, all of them. And all together standing as the subtle body inside a person. And little bit more, deeper than that when he goes, what he will see is, you can see that Karana Shariram, the causal body also. Karana Shariram, it is inside. So, it is only this, when the Karana Shariram grows in a person, it is at that time in us, different modes that develops in us, and sometimes it's darkness in us, isn't it? You feel completely blank. Sometimes you feel is complete loss of identity, feeling lost in this world. Shunyata. Shunyata means feeling a kind of vacuum inside. And some kind of weakness inside. All these things is noticeable for them. The Western mystics, they call it as the dark night of the soul. This is what that is. That's the same thing. It is mentioned like that. So, this is because in the Jiva's spiritual life, it is the dark night when he has going through all these experiences. It is after that light comes. It's after that the light comes. you have to go through this whole thing, experiences, and then finally, with the help of a spiritual master who sees our darkness inside, who is able to remove the darkness from within, and through our surrender and through his instructions, we get released from that darkness. It is that is mentioned when Krishna appeared in the Bhagavatam. You will see some verses. Nishide tama ulbude jayamane janardane devakyam devarupinyam Vishnu sarva guhashaya. There is a verse there. That verse is actually referring to this relationship between the disciple and the spiritual master. When you read it, you won't get it. It is the commentary from the acharyas are saying, Shrita Swami mentions this, that why that verse has come there at the time of appearance of Krishna. When Krishna appears in the heart, all the darkness goes away. Nishide tama ulbhude jayamane janardane devakyam devarupinyam Vishnu sarva guhashaya. In Devaki's heart, Krishna appeared, and at that time, all the darkness has left. So, nishidhi tama ulbhude. Nishidhi, that means after the darkness is gone, Krishna will appear. Janardana. Janardana will appear. And there it is, Krishna's appearance. So, that darkness, what we are talking about, what is that darkness? Darkness inside us is that causal body. Karana Shariram. What we call it as? Karana Shariram. That is the darkness inside us. Karana Shariram is nothing but a very thick layer of Tamogunam. That is what it is. You see? And that is the reason, even though out of the three states, waking state, dream state, deep sleep, in the deep sleep, although you have left your body, you have left your mind, you have left your individuality, personality, everything, still you haven't realized the truth. Why? Because of this thick package of this tamogunam, what is inside. And that is what is mentioned in that Bhagavadam. Nishide tama ulbhude. Tamas it is, darkness. Jayamane janardane devakyam devarupinyam Vishnu sarvaguhashayam avirasil yadha prachyam nishindu iriva pushkala. Krishna's appearance is avirasil. That is what Krishna's birth means. Krishna's, of course, historically, if you look at Krishna's birth, we'll talk about 5,000 years ago, Krishna appeared in Gokulam as the son of Vasudeva and Devaki, all the Madhura, all those things we will talk. But when it is connected with the Shastram, every moment when we come out of the darkness, when the darkness goes away from inside, Krishna appears in the heart naturally to everyone. Because of the darkness, Krishna is not taking birth in our heart. That's the message from that verse. Krishna will take birth in everyone's heart as soon as that tamogunam goes away from inside. So I'll stop there and we will continue with that on next Saturday. Meanwhile, should we have some kirtan now? Yeah.
All glory to Srila Prabhupada.